Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of our Love Fantasy with your Diva Squad. How's everybody?
Good. Wonderful.
You know, I kind of get excited when I know it's about time for us to get on, you know, come get in the studio. And I'm just a sucker for good conversation. I'm a sucker for good conversation, you know. So I be getting excited because we have interesting conversations and everything going on. So how's everybody week been?
Hey, I know that's right. How about you?
Oh, listen, any day above ground is a good day for me, you know.
Exactly.
You know, I take anything else with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
come on now. Complaining, what good is it going to do, number one? And then I look at somebody else's story and be like, oh, God, when I think I have it bad, you know.
Right, I can't complain. That's really going through some stuff.
So, no, I can't complain, you know. I thank God, today, you know, for my life, health, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get started, Again, this is an adult show for all our listeners out there. We encourage 18 and over callers. You know, however, sometimes we do get callers that are younger than 18, so there will be no profanity, and we do speak with civil tongues here. And everything that's stated is everybody's opinion. There's, you know, everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and we will respect each other on here. But we encourage, you know, people to call in, you know, press that one and get in on the conversations. We value everybody's opinion here. So, you know, thanks again for calling to all our listeners and callers out there in advance. So, if you ladies have no announcements or anything that needs to be said, we can get started with our show tonight.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think our show is kind of, it's a little deep, you know, a little deep tonight. So, all right. Now, with that said, our topics on tonight are, drum roll is, do you think there should be a time limit for people that are receiving governmental assistance? It's our first question.
Run that by me again, sister. Run that by me again.
Do you think there should be a time limit for people that receive governmental assistance?
Heck yeah. Yes. Most definitely.
Because some people are just abusing it, period. And the ones that really could use it, they can't get it because you may be making $5 too much.
High five.
You know, so
exactly.
Therefore, you know, I think it's a lot of people are abusing it. These younger mothers, these younger girls are going out here making these babies, continuously making them, because you know that you have a certain amount of time for the child, you know, of age. And like I said, those parents that need it, they can't get it. You know, think about the single mother that's busting her butt with two jobs with maybe three or four kids.
Right.
She's got to pay cash for food and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, these younger people and some older are sitting on their butt not doing anything, just collecting it, you know, getting all kind of food stamps.
Yes.
And then they go out and sell them.
I just learned a couple of days ago that social services will pay your full rent. You get full food stamps. They will pay your life bill. They will pay your water bill, your phone bill. They will even pay your car insurance.
Exactly.
I heard that, and my heart wanted to just jump out of my chest. I was so sad. Yeah.
Listen, you know, like T was saying before, what it is people take advantage. You understand what I'm saying? Now, where I'm from, They recently had a bust out here for people cashing in their food stamps at this gas station where they were getting gas. They get gas, cigarettes, whatever they were spending it on. They was out there getting. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people actually got arrested.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some people
lost
their Section 8.
The worst part is that men can get it.
Oh,
they ain't gotta have no kids.
Yes. Listen, and there are men that that I know that have they're on public assistance. They owe child support, and they don't have jobs, and they claim that they can't get jobs, and because they owe child support, and they go down there and they fill out that application and claim that they have no money and that they owe child support, that they can't go to work because they took their driver's license. They allow these men to get on public assistance and pay their bills.
Yep. As soon as they get out of prison. Now, don't get me wrong, because I've been on the system before. You understand what I'm saying? If you need it, you need it.
I'm sure somewhere or another, so we all have, you know, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you nor me nor Rachel, I don't think that any of us have ever abused it.
Right.
You know, I got it when I needed it the most.
Right.
When
right.
I had no other choice but to get it.
Right, right. And like you said, I can actually use it now. Even if they give me a little $50 of food stamps or something. Give me a little $50 of food stamps or something. I can use it. But again, if you make a dollar too much, you're not eligible. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said, a single man could go down there, just getting that release from prison or whatever it is, and get the full package.
And they ain't got to be released from prison, just too lazy to go out there and get a job.
Uh-huh.
You know, all you got to do is say that you living with somebody and they are charging you, and they give you the stamps.
Yep. And that's why I said it may sound like a hate coming from me or whatever, but I think there should be some kind of time limit, okay? Set up programs so where people can grow. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Self-sufficient.
And I mean, you know, because I just feel bad for those that can't get it, that really truly need it, even though they do work.
Yep.
Those are the ones that you should be supporting more so than anybody.
Absolutely.
Because somebody that's just sitting around doing nothing,
why are
you just, you know, you giving them the right to just not ever do anything.
Go out and have a bunch of babies and stuff like that and not being able to hear you.
You know, you see them in the grocery store with 3 or 4 carts. You know, but you're not going to get all up in my business just to give me no $20 worth of stamps for a month.
Just to tell me no. I know that's right.
You know, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you may be making just enough, and they tell you, okay, we can give you $20 worth of stamps. What is that going to do?
It costs them more to print.
That's a meal for a week.
It costs them more to print $20 in food stamps.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, and it's like, again, I'm not condemning the people that are on it or whatever, but you have some people that really do abuse the system, and there should be some kind of limit. There should be, okay, you know, it's just a travesty, like, because now you got people, there are a lot of homeless people now, a lot more people are homeless and stuff like that. Now they're living in the shelters and, you know, and stuff like that, and a lot of people get there and get comfortable and get stuck there because they don't have to do anything. You know, they don't have to do anything. I mean, really.
It was a statement just made. That's a fact, too. Because if you know somebody that work in the system, they can jimmy around everything and you can get it. And I think that's wrong because you can also go to these social service places. And these people act like it's coming out of their pocket.
Yeah.
You know, and little
give
do
you
we
attitude.
Know, they may be on assistance, you know, the reason you got the job.
Right.
But, you know, but don't condemn me because I need some assistance.
Right.
You know.
And see, some states now, they want to drug test.
Good. And that's
I don't
good.
Want them. And I think that's a fair deal. You understand what I'm saying? Because even me as a working taxpayer, you understand, why should they be able to get whatever they're going to get on public assistance, take it and blow it up in drugs when there are people out there really starving and need this money?
Right.
You know, like I said, you know, it's people every single day buying stamps. You know, I ain't going to say that on air, but... But then again, you know what? It don't matter because the simple fact, hey, if somebody comes to me and want to sell them,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because if I don't, somebody else will.
Somebody else will.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like that because I don't get them that you're not going to be able to sell them.
Right.
You know, because I know a few mothers that's getting like $900-some.
Jeez.
What?
Shut the front door.
Can you imagine I would have food stamps going over and over and over?
Yeah, because, I mean, really, $900 in stamps, that's a lot of food stamps.
It is. And they sell 400 and 500 of them. And you only getting $200 cash for it. But that's enough for you to go do your get your get high or whatever you're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're speaking of public assistance, that's Section 8. A lot of people abusing that, too.
Abusing
that. You see, I see so many men living with these women, shacking up with these women that's on Section 8. And they
mm-hmm.
up here, balls, all sorts of brand new sneakers every week, all sorts of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
These people got these big cars, these big things, got a lot of money, but here they are. Section 8 ballers.
Yeah, you ain't got to pay no daggone rent.
Right.
But what do you think about a parent or a mother or a family that only have to pay maybe $10 in rent and you get kicked out?
That's just straight up trifling.
Because if mine was $10, I would pay for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Listen, I know this ratchet chick that looks like on the road for me. She has like 4, 5, 6 kids running the system, abusing the system, stay pregnant all the time, and she's on such major social services. Don't have to pay but maybe $10, $20 a month rent and get kicked out every like 6 months.
See, that don't make sense.
Get put out because she won't pay her little $10, $20 a month rent.
I don't know, but it's to me, it's annoying. The system is very annoying because, again, they want to get all in your business, and if they feel that they feel like they own you. You understand what I'm saying? They feel like they own you. Like, you have a certain amount of time, or else you're gonna be doing this. Like, okay.
Right. Because once they get your social
security number, and the thing is, you asking me to send in paperwork. If I don't send in proper paperwork, you're sending me back with numbers and figures and all of that stuff, the jobs that I'd have had, how much I'd have. You have the income reports. You understand what I'm saying? Why are you asking me to send this stuff for stuff you already know what is there?
Once they get that social security number, it's a wrap. They know your whole life history.
Your entire history.
They make me want to know if you know what color drawers I'm wearing today.
Right, right. Exactly. But, again, this is... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rach.
It's all right. We're going to go to a song.
Okay.
It's called Clean... Wait, let me get this right. Clean This House by R. Kelly. Clean This House.
Okay. All right.
Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah, I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Up, done lost my house, done lost my job, wife walking out. These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me. Business doing it, no church or no Bible study ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from Your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house. My hymn.
I'm not a Christian because I'm perfect or whatever. It's because I did stumble, or you know what I'm saying, I did mess up. My life is a mess and I need help. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that, I like that song. I just like R. Kelly anyway, because he's a great writer. You know what I'm saying? Even with the nonsense that he did have going on, he's a great composer. You know what I'm saying? A great writer.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he's human too. We all make mistakes, like you said. You know?
Oh, we do.
We have all fell short.
Absolutely.
But,
and that's why
we can get ourselves together only if you want to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. You get to a situation that you allow to hold you down, then hey, that's what you want. Because otherwise, you're going to be like, oh, I have to make something else happen for me. That's, again, like people being on the system. This is not really working for me. I got to make something else happen for myself. And you know what I'm saying? This is where you pray and you get out hitting the pavement. You know what I'm saying?
When I got pregnant with my son, I was 19, 20 years old. I had graduated high school already. And I got pregnant with my son, and I said to myself, all right, I'm going to go on public assistance. I'm only going to do it for a year. And I did. I went down and got financial services, and I was only on it for about 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
Never turned
back. You did a goal. You set a goal.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
She set herself a goal, and that's what's happening. People
are
not setting goals for themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know what your mark is if you don't set yourself a goal.
You're just out there in the wilderness. Another thing that people don't realize, if you don't work when you're younger, what are you going to have when you get older and try to get disability or social security?
I know that's right.
You're not going to have
anything into it. You definitely won't be gay. Oh, you get the bare minimums.
Yeah.
Listen, I know some people. I know some ladies that were on social services when I was young growing up, and I look at them now, and they're still on the system, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
But when they get older, what's going to be there for them? What are they going to do?
Nothing.
Made a career out of it.
Like you were just okay and still on it. Come on now, really?
Social services is not going to last forever.
What are you teaching your children by doing this? What are these people teaching these their kids? Not a darn thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me so angry to see, like, able-bodied men out there. All right, I know going coming home from prison is hard. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Coming home from prison is hard for anybody to accept a felon. You got a felony, no jobs, want to hire you or whatever. Now, this is where the government needs to get to step in, like, all right, well, we got to create something for these men. You understand what I'm saying? You created a job for them while they was in jail. Making 17 cents an hour. You created it then. Why can't you create it once they get out?
Exactly.
And guess what? You're still going to be taking care of them because they're going to go down there to the social services
and get those stamps and all benefits.
Or $200-$300 in food stamps, $400 a month rent, and you get Medicaid and all. Come on,
the government is cashing in on them, giving them shelters. You know, they give them a place to stay.
Yep, the government's cashing
and
in on people that are on the system.
They really are.
They cashing in. They get
to run around with a little snotty nose, or you know, don't have everything, but you are buying sneakers and whatever else.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the government gets a big tax break for people that are on the system.
Let me tell you something, right?
My cousin, go ahead, I'm sorry. go ahead.
We got so much to say on this topic. We're going to go on and on and on about this tonight, Eva. Go ahead,
I'm
sister.
Sorry.
Go ahead. It's all right.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, as I was saying, they'll get a little job, you know, because when you're on social services, they'll tell you that you have to get a job, so, you know, work off your grant or whatever. So some of these people will get a little job, little BS job, just to hold them over so that they don't get kicked off. So
right.
And then at the end of the year, of course, they can't claim their own children on their taxes. Having people claim their kids.
Exactly.
Oh, sure, certainly.
And just bringing in money, bringing it in.
Well, and let me tell you,
you know,
they're doing a lot of auditing with that, though.
They doing a lot of auditing because I know a couple of people, they had to pay back some money because some of these kids don't even live in the same state.
Listen, you know? They gave me a hard time about when my baby, he has a different last name. They carry my mom's last name, the family last name, and then I have my dad's last name. So I had to write like a paragraph or something when I went to file my taxes of why our last names were different and all kinds of stuff. I was like, wow, are you serious? That's crazy. Now, they also have it with when you go to file your taxes. If you don't have some kind of health insurance, you're gonna be fined. They're fining people as 2014. You're gonna be fined if you go and file your taxes and you don't have health insurance. You're gonna be fined from anywhere from $200 and something on up. And every year it goes up. So you know that's just a warning for people out there. If you don't have some kind of health insurance or anything,
speak it somehow.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, it's hard because a lot of people can't afford it. If you work, but you make too much money for certain things and not enough for others. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, again, I don't have health insurance because I can't afford to pay it because I have all my other bills. Now, if I go down there to the social services department to apply for Medicaid, I can't get it because I make too much money. Like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. This is how you're going to, you know, so that right there leads me to our next question of, do you think the system should be designed more to help more working families? To help working families more.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Because in the beginning, that's what the system, it was designed. Section 8 and stuff like that was designed for people who work. Because you do need a little assistance.
That list is so long. That waiting list for Section 8 is so, so long.
In every state.
You wait years.
In every state.
Yep. Well, as of next year, they're trying to, I know in New York, they're trying to get 125,000 people off of the program. So
wow,
the only people that are actually exempt are like people that are on disability. And senior citizens. They're exempt from the from being eliminated from the program. But as far as anybody else, people with jobs and stuff like that, you're under the gun. You're under the gun as far as, you know. Or it is going to go up so much, so you might as well pay your entire rent anyway.
They have a program through yesterday that helps you buy a house.
Habitat
or something. You can,
Habitat for Humanity,
But
the taxes and stuff on those homes are so high.
Wow.
And not only that, a lot of people weren't affording the mortgages either. So, it's enough that you have, I researched the Family Self-Sufficiency Program. Now, you're on a program. When you have a job, you gain escrow. And I think it's a time limit. You have, like, 2 years, maybe. And then at the end of that, whatever money's in escrow, you get that. That's supposed to help you get, be like a down payment for your home or whatever. But again, a lot of people are not being able to afford the mortgages.
But you know, they also have some of the mortgages are based on your income.
Uh-huh.
But then they have the homes where you do so many hours, and you get somebody to help you build.
Yeah, you got to build somebody else's house. Somebody will build yours.
Yeah.
You build somebody
right.
else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then that person will help you. You know, and you can get a home built like that.
Yep, that's how they do that with the Habitat for Humanity.
That's one of the stipulations
of the program. You have to spend so many hours, building on Saturdays or whatever.
There's a housing lottery or something that goes on every so often too, right?
That goes through the town as well. That goes through whatever town you live in. They put lotto houses. You have to make a certain amount of money, and they'll put you in a pool or whatever, and you can enter that one too. Yeah, that's another program. Wow.
But speaking of abusing like funds and everything like that. That's like, with us when Sandy came through here, right? They arrested so many people that abused that money.
Fraudulent. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That this and that happened to their homes and they got that money. And, I mean, they really didn't even have a home, or it didn't nothing happen to it.
Nothing happened.
Some people got that money really quick, and then there are some people that are still waiting to get their money.
Some people can't even rebuild their homes because they're not giving them enough.
They're forced to do other things, and see, and this again goes back to our government and how he's designed to keep his cash flow going. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I say even with a lot of these like entertainers and all of that stuff donating money, like Tyler Perry just donated $1 million to T.D. Jakes to help build a school or some kind of youth center or something. But my question is, how many of them actually donate without a return? You understand? Without filing taxes for it? You know what I'm saying? That's what I call a real donation. Here, you can have that because I have it, so you can have it. I don't need to file tax on it.
That's why when they be like, you can give donations to send to this place, that place. I never do that because I look at our own country. We're suffering. Why even go and help somebody else? I mean, yes, true, everybody needs a little help. But come on, take care of your backyard first.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of the United States.
Yes.
But you want to get all of this stuff like when they had that what was that, Katrina? And they sent all those people over here. You know, this one woman bought what was it, a $300-some bag or something, a pocketbook. And I mean, they were looking into all of that. But my thing is, help your fellow people before you go to another country.
Well, please.
And I don't give money to them because you don't know if that money is going to them people.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't know where that money is going.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I can use it as a tax write-off, but at the end of the day, how can I really use it for a tax write-off? I don't know where my money going to.
Yeah, where is it going?
I know with some of these organizations, they already have, you know, they have a large, you know, display of, like let's just say T.J. He has this huge church. He's televised national, worldwide. You know, so he's already getting a lot of money. So I was thinking, okay, well, Tyler Perry, he must know this man very well.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he does have a lot of money, so he can come out of his pocket like that.
Right.
But really, really, all that money that he donated to this organization to, you know, and there's so many people right at home that need money.
There's people
you know?
That need homes that's starving. That, you know, and it's unfortunate, and that's what makes me mad about people really taking advantage of the system. Here you out here blowing food stamps and you know, and I work all the time, and we eating peanut butter and jelly and
oodles and noodles and all
oodles
of that.
And noodles, are you serious?
Yes.
Can't even have a decent Sunday meal because you got to
even though I love
the
them, I
listen,
love
how
peanut
about,
butter and jelly.
I stay with a lot of peanut butter jelly and oodles and noodles in my house because we love it. We love those type of things. But there are a lot of people that don't even manage their money well, their food stamps well. So
right.
They get them, you know, a little bit of money at the beginning of the month or get their food stamps. They just spending it, you know,
go out buying stupid stuff. Buying breakfast sandwiches when you can go out there and fill your refrigerator up with eggs.
They have them a big fish, a fish thing, crab legs.
I posted on Facebook the other day how she made this big meal. And I'm like, what is this? You having a party or something? Somebody's birthday? Oh, yeah, it's the beginning of the month. She's got a bunch of food stamps. So
that's what they be
all
having.
This stuff. But then by the end of the month, by the middle of the month, she
you ain't got nothing.
Auntie Ray, can I borrow some money? Oh,
yeah.
Now, huh?
So I was selling food stamps so they could go to the club.
Or even throwing these big cookouts and all of that, you know, feeding the neighborhood, and the neighborhood only coming to eat, and then they gone.
Look, I know this
one girl. So you know what it is too. People don't want to disclose that they're on a system. They want to live like they Big Willie, but you're actually on a system. That they got too much pride to say, listen, I can't afford that right now. I'm on food stamps. I can't afford that.
You
understand what I'm saying?
It makes me angry because they be just posted up on Facebook like they this and they that and hit it. You know, it makes me so mad. I just be deleting them right away.
Because I've seen somebody ask to buy some food stamps online. You know, and I'm like, really though?
Real live idiots. What that is, idiotic.
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
Putting that on Facebook.
Exactly.
You know it goes on every day, but really, really, that's ratchet. You putting it on Facebook like
Exactly ratchet. That's exactly what that is, ratchet.
And it's not cute at all.
No, it's not cute. And again, but yet you go out and pretending like you're not on a system, honey. Knock it off.
Yeah.
You got dudes out here want to ball out.
This one girl, she got in trouble, this girl that I know. She got in trouble for abusing the system. And yet, however, she was able to get back on the system. And then she got thrown off. She constantly gets thrown off and then she finds ways to get back. This girl is good at she has to get the gab or something. Because every time she turns around, they're taking her brand from her. Then she's back on, step up, six kids. And,
I was sanctioned again.
Great.
I was sanctioned, but look at my new
possible.
Oh, yeah.
She definitely got to be good. Because normally when they, especially like Section 8 and things like that, when they take it away from you, it's hard to get it back.
It's hard to get that stuff back. Trust me, it is. Been there,
you
done
know,
that.
And,
like,
then you got to look at a lot of these HUD housing, all of that. And then these young girls, they get all these boys living up in there selling the drugs, and they end up, wind up losing their place behind them.
Right.
You know, and then where's the dude then?
Right.
Nowhere. He went to the next one.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to rub that home.
Stacking that money so you could, like, listen, again, I've been there, done that, too. Been there, done that, too, with, you know what I'm saying, hustling, hustlers or whatever, and then you still left with nothing.
Right.
You know, left with nothing simply because the system is taking care of you. Why didn't they need to give you anything? This is free.
Mm-hmm.
This is free to you.
Exactly.
And that's how they see it, that is free money, not knowing that there's people that get up and go to work every day that has to put in because of that.
Right.
Like you said, now when it's time for them retirement age, they hadn't put anything into the retirement. You won't be getting nothing back.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be getting anything back. Not even at retirement age. At tax time, you ain't getting nothing back unless you go out there and sell a kid or two.
Right.
And it's frustrating to the point. That's what made me really want to get. I said I can't do it. Back and forth down here for y'all to keep denying me and all of this stuff. I gave you all my information. That wasn't enough. You still need more information. Come on, are you serious? Like, really?
I told you they want your whole life history.
Yeah.
They really, really do.
Well, listen, we have Kim on the line, ladies. Kim, are you there?
Okay.
Kim?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, ladies.
Welcome,
hello.
Kim. How are you?
You know, I'm cracking up, but I know it's a serious topic at the same time. But a part of me is laughing a little bit.
I hear you got to laugh.
Just because it's either you laugh or you get mad, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
You laugh
That's
or you
true.
Get mad. You know, I heard the topic, but I wanted to share a quick story with you guys of one of my patients said to me, okay. So I was asking, you know, like, what's their five-year plan, you know, and stuff like that. And she was like, I'm going to get pregnant before I turn 18. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay on welfare. My mom told me that I can get an apartment on welfare.
Oh.
And I don't have to work. I can tell her I'm going to school and I can go to school part-time.
Wow.
So one of the other patients was like, all right, so you just want to get on welfare, that's it? And she was like, I'm already on welfare. Miss Polite, her taxes paid me $35 a month at the group home that I'm at right now.
Oh, my God.
And I'm comfortable with that. What do I know about money?
Oh, my God.
So, you know me on the inside, I'm boiling. I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of want to pull this child to the side. But then when her mother came in, I understood because her and her mother, they get high and stuff together or whatever. And they don't know no better. Like, the mother's on welfare. She gets her Medicaid every single month. You know, the one that, the daughter, and then they have a son. The son is autistic. So, because he's autistic, she claims she don't have to work. But mind you, he's like 5 years old, was already diagnosed.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So
talk about a travesty.
Right, my $35 pay her, my tax dollars pay her $35 a month. I was too through because not only was she right, though, about the $35,
right,
they also pay the placement that she's at money.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, if you go down the line of it, her mother gets public assistance, she gets her Medicaid, she gets her food stamps, and 9 times out of 10, she gets her Section 8 too.
Mm-hmm. Right, she probably get that check for that little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
and
of course.
And a check. You know that.
Look,
and
that, look,
again,
and
that's
one
for the daughter. That's a
look,
travesty.
Look, and one for the daughter, because you know she diagnosed with something.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, to have that type of mentality, I hope they had it checked out.
To have
your goal set on being on a public assistance. If that's your goal.
Look, public assistance and getting pregnant. That was her goal. Like, you know what?
Oh.
This is what I want. This is how I'm going, you know.
Poor
and
baby.
She was content with that. When I tell you, she, no, poor baby. Oh, my God. She cussed like a sailor.
No, I'm talking about the
baby.
Baby that she would have.
Oh, look, poor
that's
baby.
That's what I'm saying, poor
look,
baby.
Look, I'm praying for all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole household.
You have to.
Yeah. I'm praying for
all
of them.
That right there
is
not sane. That's
just, that gave me chills.
that's not seen to, you know, again, for her, for that to be some kind of goal, because you figure, you're like, all right, I'm tired of living, you know, from paycheck to paycheck or whatever. We got to wait once a month to get anything. I'm going out there. I'm going to work. I got to, you know what I'm saying? I got to do things different. Like, somebody has to break the mold somewhere.
That's right.
Sad.
But you know what?
Exactly.
When I was younger and I needed to get on public assistance, okay, they said that they would only give me food stamps for like $100-something. We going back about a good like 15, 16 years.
Uh-huh.
They said they was only going to give me food stamps for $100-something, and that, you know, there was really nothing that they could have did for me because I was still underage. But
wow.
They was able to give me food stamps. But then
wow.
One of my good cousins, she had been on public assistance since she was like 16 years old.
Wow.
But they wouldn't give
they
it to
always
you?
Always had her own place and everything. Like, when I tell you, always had her own place, was always well taken care of by the tax dollars.
Wow.
Didn't
so
really
why go out there and work?
Work for a living. That's what I was saying when I was younger. Well, why do I have to work if everything that she
right.
gets, you know, she get it for free? I can go play retarded and get some money.
Listen,
that's
like
what a lot of people do.
Go check it. Let me go check myself in somewhere and get me a check.
Or either they do it for the, you know, they have their kids, like, going, taking this crazy medicine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they ADH and all of that, and they end up with a check. You know, but you're only hurting a child.
Right, but they don't care, because you know what they see?
Nope.
They see them dollar bills.
That's all they see.
Now, I'm just trying to figure out, at my age right now, if I could say I got 9 kids and start drooling and start peeing on myself, if I can get some help. That's what I want
to
do.
Yeah, they'll be ready to put you in a home somewhere and take your children, you know?
That's like a man that's an alcoholic. He can go down there and get disability.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
That's something I definitely don't understand.
Well, I better start on my clothes and go head down there then.
Yeah, let me go a trip
and brush my teeth for about a week.
Put on some old raggedy clothes and be looking dirty and your hair all over your head.
Yeah,
you can
get it.
Yep.
I think that they should design the system to be a lot more for, you know, the working people, you know, because I know a couple of people that have worked all their life, and then the one time they need help, they can't get it. Oh, you $5 to $5 over,
right.
You
yeah,
know,
right.
You $10
yes.
over. Forget about I've been paying my taxes 25 years, but yet I can't come down here and get no Medicaid. Keep your food stamps. Well, can I get some health
right.
insurance?
Yeah, just
right.
come for health insurance.
Right.
That's very
please.
Frustrating.
That's like my
yeah,
my niece now.
Frustrating.
My niece is school age, so my sister-in-law went down there to put her on, you know, sign her up for school or whatever. They're gonna tell her, well, because of your income, we go with people with low or no income first. I said that doesn't make any sense
wow.
because most of them are children that of parents that don't even work.
Wow.
Like how does that sound like? Just because she makes too much money now, her daughter doesn't deserve to get an education too.
That's
wow.
sad. That's
well, if
so
she
sad.
Does, she can get some student loans. That's about as good as it gets. It's not designed for certain people. It's
but she's in preschool. This
that.
Is crazy. That's preschool we're talking about.
That.
We're not even talking about college age. That's a whole different ball game right there.
Oh yeah.
You know what
it's
I'm saying?
Like,
she's in preschool. She's not allowed to get an education. Wow.
Nope.
Yeah, that's crazy right
talk
there.
About a slap
I mean,
in the face. Like, yeah, that's
right.
I'm helping contribute to this program, and my daughter can't get it. She can't take advantage of the situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Here, I'm contributing to this, and she
yeah,
can't.
That's going
can't
above
get a piece
a little
of
bit above and beyond right there.
Yeah, but
I mean,
at
seriously.
The they don't care who's contributing. Only thing they care about is money is coming in.
Money, money, money.
That's it. And
right.
not for nothing, it's sad to say, but any one of these programs, they get more money if the child is on social services than they do from a regular parent.
That's what
true.
The problem
yeah.
is.
That's crazy.
You know, because Social Services is going to pay a certain amount of money, and the regular parent, yeah, they have their fee. That's just like daycare, when you put your child in daycare. And I put mine in daycare when I was younger. They had something called the deductive pay or something like that that went by your income. I was working at McDonald's.
Wow.
And instead of me paying a whole bunch of, like, $600 for an infant to go to daycare, I was paying $26 a week, and the state was paying the rest.
Wow.
When I looked, when I got older and I actually researched how to become a daycare provider, you know how much each kid gets? Each provider gets for one child?
They get
about $500, $600 per child.
You know what? That's another thing, Kim, that you brought that up. You got a lot of people that go out here and adopt these kids just to get the money.
Oh, Lord. And these kids have problems. That's $1,500 a month right there. The kids have problems,
and you treat them like anything. I know somebody to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's so sad because the kid is already messed up.
Yeah.
To continuously abuse them, you know, it's sad because all you're looking at is that dollar sign. You're getting money for their housing, feeding them, clothing them. And all of that. And that's the only reason that you want this kid.
And how much is the kid actually receiving from that?
They're not getting anything.
Not a darn thing.
But
the parents
are spending it. But you know what they get? I'm going to tell you, I know it sounds sad, it might sound a little brutal, but this is what they get. They stay in the household for a couple months, right? Once those checks start coming in on the regular, and then as soon as they start misbehaving, whether they're cursing or punching stuff or acting a fool, their true colors come out, they come to the facility that I work at, where they will be diagnosed and they will be fully medicated. By the time they leave there, that's a whole nother check coming in right there.
Wow. That's a whole nother check coming in.
It's a whole nother world out there that people don't even know. Honestly, they don't even know nothing about.
The system is designed for certain people.
And the facility I work at, sure, come on down there. You can come on down there with your child that's misbehaving. They will diagnose your child. As soon as you give them consent to give medication, they will medicate your child. And then by the time your child leaves, they can go back home to you, right? Fully medicated. If they stop taking their medication, because you know once it gets in their system, their body depends on it now. Their body depends on it. So it's like their body needs it. As soon as they stop taking it, okay, what happens? Their body stop taking the medication. The parents bring them back. Then all of a sudden, they already interrupted the household. Because remember, these are foster kids. They already interrupted the household. So what happens? They bring them back to my facility. They get more medication. And then they get sent to another facility. And the parents still get that adoptive parents payment each month, that foster payment. That $1,500, the parents still get that money. And what ends up happening is now the new placement that they're going to, guess what? They get a check, too.
Now they get a check.
Wow.
And your child never leaves the system. That's how
they grow up in the system. And it's sad
because
a lot of those kids that grow up on those controlled medications, they grow up to be drug addicts. I've seen it. You know what I'm saying?
That is so sad, man.
They grow up to be drug
addicts. Or just abusing the system themselves.
Exactly.
Or in jail. Or
they are jail or hell.
So
I mean,
sad.
Because they messed up.
Sure.
Because now, like Kim was saying, because now their body's so dependent on that stuff, after a while, that's not going to be strong enough for them. And that's what turns them to going out to using drugs. Now.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because now they had them. I've seen many children on the ADHD medicine. It makes them like zombies.
Right.
It makes them like zombies.
Like they on some dope like an adult. They just be zoned out.
It's sad because even if y'all did diagnose my son with ADHD, he wouldn't take near kind of drug. Whatever, I don't give a damn on how severe y'all say it is. You won't be pumping nothing into my child,
right?
But you know what? I'm gonna tell you. There's a trick to that. I'm gonna tell you. What parents don't understand is that you can always say that they won't do it, but I'm gonna tell you the trick to it now is if you bring your child to, let's just say, a hospital, like a psychiatric hospital, something like that, you bring your child there. If your child is in need of medication and they have been diagnosed, guess what? CPS and the social workers will take you to court to get a petition to be able to administer medication to your child. And then you will be found to be unfit, and your child will be taken away because that is neglect, and you're not giving your child medication. I've been doing studies on this for 5 years now, and trust me, I know what I'm talking about.
That's crazy.
Wow. That's the gray area to it that people don't know about. If you think that you're doing something by bringing your child to get medication, but as soon as your child stops taking that medication and they're underage, you're held accountable for that.
You're going to be held liable, yep.
Yeah, you are accountable completely for that.
That's
so sad, man.
Wow.
You know, and that's what a lot of, you know what, I just heard today, I was sitting here in my window, and this girl was talking to her aunt, and she was like, this little boy get on my nerves so bad, and little boy number three. She said, I'm getting ready to take his butt somewhere. They're going to give him some medicine or something because he needs something to slow down. I'm tired of it. Okay, you should have thought about that when you open up your legs. Bottom line.
Yeah.
You know. And all the
and
time.
Now you can't do nothing with him.
All
now
the
act
time
like
is not the kid. It's the parent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Take a check on yourself. You know, look at yourself first because that kid is not going to do no more than you let him do.
Yeah, exactly. And especially at a young age like that, at 2 or 3 years old or whatever, now's the time to train them. You understand what I'm saying? That's the time to start training your child. So, you know, put discipline in play. There's ways you can discipline a child without abusing them.
Thank you.
There's plenty of ways. Plenty of ways that you can do that.
I got my grandson to the point. I don't have to hit you. But that look that I give you, keep doing it. That's all I do.
Exactly. Know that is possible. That is on deck.
Oh, yeah.
That answer is on deck.
Back in the day, I remember that look. That look, all my mother had to do was give me that look.
Yes.
And I knew better. Nowadays, this new generation, please. It's a bit different.
But it's a bit different with this generation.
Right. That's right. Because what you call abuse, somebody else don't call abuse. Nowadays, they have the system so set up where if you hit your child can call the police, and then next thing you know, CPS is now investigating you for something that was done to you. Just think, if you spank your child with a belt and your child has a mark on them, or even if they're just red on their bottom, whatever the case may be, they can go to school, they could tell, next thing you know, excuse my language, you got the white folks knocking on your door talking about, oh, we need to do investigation.
Exactly.
Right.
And once they get in your business, it's head get them out of it.
My niece broke her leg. She was playing in the park, and her leg went backwards, and it broke her leg. Do you know the hospital called CPS on my brother and his fiance? They called the CPS on them. They had a case study for 6 months. They investigated them for 6 months. Went to the school, questioned my older niece and everything. Questioned them down. Had them investigated for 6 months. Now these are two working parents. You understand what I'm saying? They don't spank their children. Not that they have to, but you know, they have a structural home. They have a sound home, and here they have CPS on their behind.
Wow!
She made a mistake.
Look, you try and tell that. You try and tell that story to somebody else if you want to. They ain't buying that story. That's why they was investigating it.
Exactly.
They would have had a better chance than the child fell off the bike and broke the leg.
Yep.
Mm. There you go.
They're telling the truth.
There you go.
They got a better chance because you know what? They gonna make something out of nothing anyway.
Yep. And that's exactly what they did. Exactly what they did. But then another friend of mine took her child to the emergency room the other night. Now here, her child's sick, not feeling well. The first thing they gonna say, "Oh, do you have health insurance? Do you have health insurance?"
Accept them regardless.
Like really, my child? You worried about health insurance? We'll worry about that later. send to my child first.
It's so sad how the government, how the government and the medical system and the hospitals are just so money hungry.
Yes,
it makes no
sense.
That's what it is. People are sick and they just sending them home. People are sick and they just, you know, giving them just a little fix, a little fixer upper, knowing that the problem is even major. You know,
right.
They're just sending them home and it's sad. It's
you
sad.
Know, that person could die or anything, and only because you didn't want to take care of them because they didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
You're going to get paid regardless.
Denzel Washington was the father in this movie. What's the name of that movie?
John Carroll.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was
what
so sad, man.
Yeah.
Because he didn't care.
If that ever was to happen to me, I'm going to go to the hospital. You got that right. I'm going to go. And if someone ever gave me treatment that wasn't up to par, that was different from when I did have medical insurance, oh, I'm taking names. I'm taking numbers.
There you
I'm
go.
Writing
yeah.
letters.
Yeah.
I'm getting everybody in trouble. By the time I get finished writing them letters, please, I own that hospital.
Yep.
But
again, that just goes to show you how this country is ran on money. People no longer run this country. Money does. If you don't have capital gain, you either rich or you poor. It is no middle class anymore. There's none of that anymore.
Yeah.
You're either rich or you're poor, and that's just period.
Exactly.
It's just such a sad situation, you know. But what do you do?
Right.
You know, we can talk about it, you know, and just keep trying to do the best for our kids, you know, but it's older people suffering too.
Right.
You got older people going through it too. They can't even afford their medication.
Right. Wow.
They gave my mom $10 in food stamps. I said, are you serious? The paper that the food stamps is on costs more money than $10.
Listen, my grandfather, he's a Vietnam vet. He was in the, I don't remember if the Army, Navy, whatever, but he fought in the Vietnam War, and he recently went to the doctor, and he needed some medication, and it was an Alzheimer's medication.
Wow.
And my grandmother took him to, they took the prescription to the pharmacy to get it filled, and it was $200 for this one medication. Now I'm wondering, well, God, didn't my grandfather have, you know, some type of insurance or what?
Right,
you know,
right.
When he retired or what? I don't know how it works when you're a veteran or whatever, but even so, his medication was, it was either $200 or $300. And so recently we all got together. He lives in Maryland. We all got together and we put that $200.
Wow. You know, and God knows if, you know, sometimes people have to take that medication the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't afford it. It's sometimes the only thing that keeps them ticking. And I think it's just sad because everybody else, you can go out here and get these drugs to get you high or nodding and all of that. I've never been a pill person. I hate pills.
Uh-huh.
I don't even want to take the pills that I'm supposed to take.
Right.
And that's something I got to get myself out of because, you know, sometimes these doctors don't give you medication just to be giving it to you.
Yeah.
Because, see,
right.
They're going to get a little piece of that change, too.
Let me tell you something. That my job, where I work, they have people that come in there. Because I work at the National Lab, so they have people come in there to actually test the drugs that they make. They make drugs right there on the campus. You have people, which we call them subjects. They come there, they give them a meal, they give them a stipend, they give them transportation. And
don't they compensate them too sometimes?
Some place to stay, and they'll treat any side effects. They give them money. They give them money to come there. You had some people that travel as far as from Virginia to come up here and test some medication.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. To come in there and get studied on. I said,
well,
you know
what? We have another caller, Diva. We're going to bring him on. He's been waiting for a while.
Okay.
Dawn. Dawn, are you there?
Hello, ladies. Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, Sean.
How are you, Sean?
I'm fine. I can't complain.
Good. Welcome to the Diva Squad.
Thank you. I can't complain about this topic that I got going on. Now, me personally about this topic, I feel like these grown men out here that nothing wrong with them need to get a job.
Amen. Clap it up.
So,
I'm from the Bronx, and it's a welfare center around here. And if you walk past that welfare center, you'll see these dudes out there with their fresh sneakers on, the ladies with their jewelry on, and they refuse to work.
Yep.
And the reason they refuse to work because you're getting free money. And anybody that's getting free money, if they can't work, they don't got you. Now, I also found out that even for like with a food stamp thing going on, they want them to work. But you got people that know people that get them the right notes saying they can't work.
Yep, exactly. And that's what they do. They you reconnect. It ain't what you know, it's what you know and what they have access to. You know what I'm saying? And it's a travesty. You understand what I'm saying? Because who wants to dance by somebody else's music? You already going to work, you already have a boss, you understand? But when you're totally limited by the system, like they're not going to give you any more. Like how long do you think you can live off that? How long would you want to live off that?
And I don't understand why, but ain't nothing wrong with you. Why would you want to participate on going on public assistance, welfare, whatever? If you could go out there and work and get more money.
Yeah, why won't you get triple the amount you get from social services? Because how much really cash are they going to give you? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It might give you hella food stamps, but how much cash? Medicaid, I can understand that's a different story. You need the health insurance. You need it. Some places, some jobs don't offer it. But as far as, you know, the cash and all of that other stuff, why you can't go out there and get a job? So what, you might have to humble yourself and go to McDonald's and work. You might have to, you know what I'm saying, get a job in
a
grocery store. But you have to start somewhere.
Right.
You have to start somewhere. Not just the men, there's women out there as well that have no children that get it.
But you know what? Me personally, maybe it's a double standard, but I could see some females, you know, some females get domestic violence and they get out of there so they can piss off together.
Right. Well, every situation is different.
But as far as the men, because like I heard somebody say, you got them with the benefit cards, and you could get just as much on the benefit card as you could with cash.
There you go. That's right.
That mother is sitting back there struggling and can't get nothing.
Nothing.
And she's working every day.
Exactly. I had to pay all my rent, so we broke. We gonna be starving for the next couple of days. You know what I'm saying? And we go down here and show. Let me go out here and show DSS. My rent receipt, my $1,900 a month rent receipt, and see if they give me a few food stamps. No, you make too much money. They don't take into consideration what I have to do with the money. I have to pay my light bill. I have to pay my rent. I have to pay my car insurance. They don't take none of that into consideration. All they want to know is how much you make, and that's it.
And they don't care about those bills that you have.
Absolutely not.
I can see about the necessities, but the things that you got to have, you got to have electric, you got to have gas, you got to have a car to get to and from.
They got programs.
Yeah.
They have programs for that, though. Okay, at the end, the caller was saying, the lady who, like, someone who was in a domestic violence situation, right? Now, someone that's in a domestic violence situation, I'm all for you getting assistance, for let's just say for a couple of months. But there's no reason why 6-7 months down the road you're still getting it. You out of the relationship, and 9 times out of 10, forgive me when I say it, but 9 times out of 10, he done beat you behind, you done left him, you got on the system, next you done moved away with an alias, and now you back with the same guy all over again.
Yeah, you
don't
put them
again. Well, I agree with that, but you got some females that have been in domestic violence that don't, it's a mental thing now. They're stuck with it.
Right. They haven't moved on from it.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. It gets some mental health.
Right. Because mental health, there's a lot of different agencies out there. But you know what? I don't want to seem like I'm so hard on them, but it's just because I see, like, so many different things all the time, and then the
mm-hmm.
people that really need it can't get it. It's frustrating
right.
to me. So,
right.
you know, I have a hard time trying to advocate for someone, you know, who is in different situations because I believe in my heart that, okay, some of the stuff you've seen it coming. And I know a lot of people where in a relationship they've been with someone and that person put their hands on them, that's a violent situation all of a sudden. And then next thing you know, guess what? Y'all break up, you get assistance, now you're back with them again. Now both
yep,
of
and you back with them.
Yep. About that dollar. I'm mad.
You ain't enjoying it. You ain't enjoying that butt whooping, you know, all at the same time. You know.
I'm mad.
So it's no excuse that you have to stay in that predicament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, if you are getting assistance, take that money.
Some women get off on that abuse.
Yeah, take that money and bounce with it. Now
yeah.
move away. You understand what
yeah.
I'm saying? Take that and start over with the money.
But
I maybe that's why the program was designed and people just don't use it properly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to give it to him so he'll stay there and keep whooping that butt.
Yeah, but you know.
I mean, you know, you're taking away from the kids and everything else. But
you're
dealing with
you
a sorry man that won't
you
even work in a pie factory tasting the pies.
Yeah, but you have some females as well that, you know, some love is uncontrollable with some females. So it's not like they, you know, it takes some people, I mean, not making excuses, but they got that dude that eating them or whatever the case is, but also comes to the sex game as well.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? The stuff is that good, you want to let them go. You understand? It's more
yeah.
situations to it than the fact of, okay, let me just leave them alone.
Yeah.
But
it's easier said than
you
done.
That man alone, and the next one you're so used to, once he starts yelling at you, you expecting a person to hit you.
Right.
Expecting
it to
right.
come
right. right.
Wow. Well, Jonathan Divas, we do have another caller. Big Homie, are you there? Big Homie.
Hello, D. We can sing together.
What that voice just sound, Big Homie? You ain't
tricking.
Although it still sounds refreshing. I'll give you that much. Your voice still sounds refreshing, but ain't no tricking us this time.
Hey, lady.
Hey, homie. What's good?
We can always count on him singing us a song nowadays, right?
Right.
I'm a chill.
He didn't call under an alias with that sexy voice.
Yeah, because, you know, he tricked us with it already. You know, God, he's
like, I got a million voices. Don't play with me. I got a million voices.
Oh, we got to start screening our callers back.
You better get them soggy drawers together.
What's good, homie?
Hey, man, what's the topic? I missed the topic. What's the topic?
Our topic tonight is, do you think there should be a time limit for people that are receiving governmental assistance or public assistance?
Hell fucking yeah. 30 days. Get the fuck out of here.
You go watch your mouth, homie. We, you know,
oh, right. It's Wednesday.
Express yourself how you need to without profanity. We got this.
Hey, my bad. Heck, darn, gabbit, nag, damn, namic. Heck, yeah, dag, namic.
Okay. Yes, okay. And do you think that the system should be redesigned to help working families more?
Well, we all know that these basic answers to these questions are real simple and easy, but the problem is, it's just that it's like they say, the crabs in the barrel. See, once you start getting your... This is a great story. It's a true story. One of my friends I grew up boxing with, when I met him in boxing, he was having a hard time. He took his son from his baby mother, and he needed all kind of public assistance. So he was getting Medicaid, he was getting food stamps, whatever. And then he finally finished school like 4 years later. He graduated with his bachelor's. He got his teacher's license. He got in the union, moved to Jersey, and all that other shit. And then he started talking about all the people that's ripping off the system. I'm like, dog, you was on the system
wow.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's a waste of money and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't a waste of money for you and your family.
Right.
Once you start doing good and stuff, and you started noticing these taxes coming out your big check, and you know there's a bigger taxes coming out that big check, you start looking at the have-nots. Like, if we stop taking care of them, I could get more money in my check. But you forget that the faster you go up, the faster you come down. And that public system service, whatever you call it, that should start looking real sexy when you're unemployed.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's
so
true.
Knock the next person that needs to help.
No, absolutely.
Because
if you need it, you need it. You know what I'm
saying?
You know,
because you're on your feet, what, you're going to knock the next person?
Well, we do have a problem with people pimping us. I know a couple of women that's running around fresh to death on public assistance.
Starting with your new Hermes bag and Coach bag and Louis belts and everything and not knowing that somebody else paid for that.
I'm not really knocking them for being fly. I'm knocking them for how they mismanage that money. If you got extra money, you should be going to get some training, some education, or some shit with something with that money.
Absolutely.
So that you can be employable. So you can be employable. I don't really care if you buy rejects or red bottoms.
Go get your
education. Go get you an education. So get you a skill trade or something with that extra money.
Right, and let somebody else who really needs it get it. And that's our point here, you know what I'm saying? Use it as a stepping stone. Yeah, I need it for this minute right now, but I'm going to use it to build myself. I'm a build right now. I'm going to go get me an education. So I can be self-sufficient.
I speak from experience. When I decided to leave the streets alone, I had to spend my own bread to get training. I'm just not here because I can fake it till I make it. I'm here because I went back to school and got some training out of my pocket. No grant, no loan, no nothing. Instead of me going out there and buying some Gucci sneakers or a bigger chain or a bigger watch, I put my money into myself. I invested in myself and got training.
Good.
That's what it is. And now with all that training, you can wear them big watches. And listen, you pop your own collar on that. You could pop your collar on that. Yeah, I'm wearing a big watch. Guess what? I work for that.
You know what I'm saying?
I work for that. Well, you know, you could be proud of yourself on that note. You know what I'm saying? You have some career welfare recipients. You have some people that are just comfortable on that because they don't have to work. Somebody else is going to work for that. I'm good. You know, understand what I'm saying? So.
Now the problem is that you can't never get rid of the welfare system. You can't really tighten up the requirements because everybody's situation is different.
Right.
And when you tighten it up to get rid of some of the crooks, in all reality, you'll be getting rid of some of the people that really need it. They change the requirements so crazy to get this stuff sometimes that they actually get rid of people that actually need it. So that's the dilemma we have. But it should be a requirement that you take some classes or some training or at least do some community service. Like if you're getting all this money and you ain't working. You should be out there ticking up graffiti off the walls, picking up trash or some shit. You're getting free money.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because until they do, these people are going to keep beating the system, like you said.
Right.
You know,
it's
a way around it, and they're going to get a way around it each time. But if you make them start working for it, it's going to be a whole different story.
Yeah, because they're going to go get a real job because cleaning up trash for $200 a week or whatever. I don't know what they give them. But making them work hard for that little bit of money, they might as well go get a real job.
You might as well go clock in and make your own money.
That's where the laziness come at for them because they're so used to doing it and not getting nothing. That's what you call a lazy person.
And on top of that, the government is designed to keep some people blind and crippled. Public assistance is a way to keep you blind and crippled. See, you actually think you're winning by sitting home and getting free money when actually you're losing. Because until you go out there and learn how to fish, hunt, for yourself, you're going to always be a dependent. And
public
assistance is a dependent.
Mm-hmm. That's and the government is the only one who really cashing in on it. The government's cashing in on it. You think you got something from him, he's actually getting something out of you. Not only him, the places they send you to work for your grant is cashing in because they don't have to pay for your health insurance. They don't have to contribute anything to your retirement. They don't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Thousand Divas, we do have another caller. Kia, are you there? Kia? Hi, guys.
Hey, Kia.
Hey, Kia.
Get through that mouth, girl.
Hey, Nini, what you
say? I thought you had something in your mouth. My bad, my bad.
No, homie, it's a shame when people. It's a shame when people hear your voice. They on the defense.
Oh my God! I just walked in my kitty house, please.
They on the defense when they hear big homie voice.
I can't be nice.
Ain't no defense about me when about Nitty.
Oh my God.
This is just me and Nitty way of talking.
We know how he rocks. Kia, have you heard the topics for tonight? Have you heard our discussion for the evening?
No.
Well, do you think there should be a time limit on people receiving governmental or public assistance?
Absolutely.
Yo, what we need to do is find somebody on public assistance and ask them, because all us hardworking people is going to say the same thing.
It's going to seem biased, right? We're going to seem really biased.
I'm biased right now because I'm old, and you know, anybody that's, you know, my, you know, that age, we ain't getting no Social Security. We're not going to take Social Security out of my money, out of my tax.
We're paying our tax to take care of them.
You said they're
not
going to give it to you, Kia?
These are Social Security money that I put in?
Well, you know what it said, because at the rate we're going anyway with this country, by the time we get up to retire, it ain't going to be no retirement anyway. That's going to be wiped out.
That's why you
got to
be saving money. I don't know about you,
Oprah.
I'm
going to
need some retirement money.
I know that. Got to save your own money.
I don't know about you, Oprah. I'm going to have me some money.
I know that's right. Give me
some money. Y'all should have been saving for rainy day. I'm gonna have me some retirement money.
I hear that. You better. Like I said, depending on the government, we'll be over there and we'll be over there like Syria.
It won't get that. It won't get that serious like that. But that's another story.
Wow.
But no, I think there should be a time limit on
Yeah. Do you think that they are so comfortable, not everybody.
There are people who are in need, and I'm not knocking them, and there are people that are not in need.
True. Yeah, you have able-bodied people. Like I said, you have dudes down there. You have just as many men down there in the welfare office as you do women with children. You have single men down there. Like we were saying before, you go down there and say you're an alcoholic. I bet you they give you something.
One thing about the men's situation is that the white man. I don't want to put a color on it, but the plan is, it's part of the dysfunctional family of the black family is that they're empowering more women than they are men. Mm-hmm. And that causes strife in the house. There's a lot of guys that's trying to get these jobs, but they're not giving them to them.
Not giving it to them, that's true.
I don't think the white man have anything to do with that. I'm sorry. I have to disagree with that. If a man want a job, they're going to do what they do to get a job.
By all means necessary.
Out here. If they want a job and they're going to support their family, a real
you got to talk about it. Send them.
Whether it's in McDonald's, whether it's Burger King,
you
got to
talk about it. Go.
They're going to do what they got to do to get a job. So I can't really.
It ain't that easy. It ain't that simple, though. It ain't that simple.
It's simple if you put your mind to it and you do what you got to do.
I'm saying sometimes they give you these corny jobs where that after you work and they take out taxes, you looking at you bust your butt for $2.20 a week, and then you put coffee and lunch into that, you work for $1.50 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing that?
You know what? You have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. And again, it seems like a struggle. But again, and you still have to start somewhere. All right, I'm not going to let this off. Now that I do have a job, being that I have one, let me go apply for something else, being I have a job now. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want to take anybody that's unemployed. They don't. They really don't. They don't. And especially, too, there's a lot of felons now. They don't want to take people that has a felony on the record. Again, keep your tail out of jail. You ain't got to worry about that. So, you know, we have to take some initiative somewhere, even though we know it's not as easy as it sounds, but there's still a way. There's still a way. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody's got their own opinion. That's my
feeling. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. This is totally an opinionated line here tonight. Yeah? Everybody should have an opinion.
I think if you want to better yourself, you're going to do that.
Right.
You're going to get everything prepared. Prepared to do something, whether you have a job or not. You're going to get up every day preparing to go look for a job. But if you're not preparing yourself to look for that job, you're not getting a job.
Nope.
I think you set the table. If no food on the table, you set the table regardless. Who's going to come? You have to be able to get up and do these things. If you don't do these things, if you get up and think you're going
to
get a job,
it ain't
going
to come to you free.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah, okay.
That too.
You ain't going to get a job.
And that goes on. I agree with what Big Homie say a lot too, because like the day laborers, you see how all of the Hispanic people hang out on the corners and stuff like that. They're hanging out to actually get a job. These people, the people that actually hire wouldn't do that if it was a bunch of black guys standing on that corner right there. They're intimidated by black people and they don't trust us. You understand what I'm saying? Because they think we all steal.
I don't agree with that.
Those that got felonies, go to labor.
It depends on where you are sometimes. Some places you don't see those day laborers. They know exactly what town to go to,
right?
You know, what fences to hang out by. Certain areas, you're not going to see those day laborers. You're not going to see any of them. But then there's some areas, you're going to see a lot of them. Yeah.
Yes, again, they hang out where all the money is because where all the big name companies are and stuff like that. They're gonna pick them up because it's cheaper for the man to hire him. It's cheaper because he's not paying any taxes on them. He's not having to pay health insurance and stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Now
you take a bunch of African-American people and take a bunch of Hispanic people. Let's stand them on each side of the corner and see what happens. Let's see who gets hired first.
Yeah, but you're not going to see a bunch of African-Americans standing out there like those Mexicans.
My point exactly. They're not going to do it. They're not going to humble themselves, number one, to do it. We're beyond that.
I don't agree with it. You had to separate the two, whether who's going to get the black or the Hispanic. No, I think a whole big different concept for me with that one. I'm like this. You want the job, go out and find the job.
Go for it.
Just go out for the job. Every time I go into Newark, in the city of Newark, they got these guys that, you know, they clean, they keep in the city of Newark. It's just one man. Every time I park on Commerce, it's a parking garage where I park. If I go into the city, he's 85 years old, and every time I look at my cousin who's 16 or something, and I see them, and they go, "Hey, kid, can I get $20? No, you can go get a job. See this man right here, you put an 85-year-old man. I told him I want him to get that application. You know what they tell me? I ain't saying, you know what, you ain't getting $20.
Right.
Why am I giving $20 every time I see them?
That's crazy.
They have no ambition.
They don't want to work.
I blame their parents because you know what? They put on the $200 pair of sneakers, food, coat, jacket. You name it, they got it. You know what? They, you know what time they go to put job? Yeah, I'm going by 2 o'clock. I'll put an application in. I'm like, oh, really?
Uh-huh.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. I just be hearing that conversation.
You know what it is? They don't have to do now. They can go to the welfare office and get free money. They can go to the welfare office and get free money.
Their free money is their parents. That's their free money, because if my family member, they ain't doing nothing about it, that's the free money. They wait till their parents get paid. There you go.
Well, see, that's where the parent need to put their foot down. Like, listen,
well,
you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah. Well,
you don't work, you don't eat. I'm a supply your needs, shelter and food like that, but anything else, you have to work for that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work for that. As long as you're my dependent, if you're old enough to work, you're going to go out there and get yourself a job. My mother made us, at 14, when we got that working card, it didn't collect dust. You went to school. After school, you went to your little job. You know what I'm saying? You had your money. You know what I'm saying? Again, there's no ambition with these children nowadays. That's crazy. They have no ambition. They think that they can get this overnight success. Oh, I'm going to be a rapper. Or I'm going to play professional sports. Or, you know, come on now. Listen, what you going to do until you make it there? What are you going to do? You going to sit around and wait for that to happen? Pray that a miracle is going to happen?
It's only a small amount. I don't agree with that. It's like there's no ambition. I see a lot of kids who got so much ambition who's trying to get up out of somewhere and stuff like that. I wouldn't say it's a vast majority that who's lazy. Just like I got, you know, what's inside my niece and nephew. My niece, she figures she goes to school. She ain't, you know, hey, grandma going to do this. Grandma, I'm looking like, yeah, okay. Mom, will you, you know, I have to tell mother, Mom, you are not buying her another coat. She already got 4 2 weeks ago. She went a purple. She went with that black and that blue. What she got? But these are the things, you know, the con. I call them the con artists. They are very good con artists.
Wow. Like I said, that's where the parent got to put their foot down and say, listen, it's not happening. You got a coat. I won't buy you another one. You want this good? You want this stuff? You old enough to work? You're going to go out there and find yourself a part-time job.
And then they don't want to stay on a certain job. I saw my cousin's god sister, and, you know, ran there for the other day. Up here. And you told me, I'm big on giving references out, and I am. I'm very picky about giving references. She got a tattoo on her hand. She got a tattoo, whatever. And she said, I'm looking at her like, if you want me to give you a what? I told her, Randy, I wouldn't write you a reference, because when you were tattooing your body up, you should realize when you want to get into putting in your goals and sit in corporate America, isn't nobody going to sit and watch and look at tattoos all down your arm? You know, hands.
Right.
If you put a tattoo here, this should never be that. And
exactly.
You give you a reference, I'm not giving you no reference. I'm going to give you 2 points. Just listen to me quickly. Go down here and go put a job at a kitchen and there, but I'm not giving you no reference. I don't give out reference. I'm very picky about who I give out reference to. So,
yeah, because if you put your name behind something, then they hire it, and they all messed up. Like, wow, you just got a good reference.
They don't even name. It's like somebody I know that may be hiring or whatever, and I'm like, you know, he ain't, you know, he ain't even
But again, like we were saying, anyway, when it comes to, like, the system, when, like, Section 8 and all of that stuff was designed, it was actually designed for working people. If you got a job, you need a little help, you know, but you had to have a job in order to get on there. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't put you on there and then say, go get a job. You had to have a job in order to get that assistance. You know what I'm saying?
Section 8, I worked Section 8. I interrupted. It was a job that my godmother had got me when I was home my first year in college. I'll tell you right now, my first experience with Section 8 when I worked there, I had a couple of cases that I had to deal with. This lady came in the office, and she had their step with kids, like, you know, 2, 3. Do you know when I gave her the application, I said, okay, let me just see what it was. I told her whatever, sat down, and gave her. Do you know she's older, was older than me. Do you know she did not know how to read the application?
Wow.
Well, my first experience, when she walked into the office, so I'm in the office, she came and closed the door, and then, you know, you can set up things if you want to get some stuff from the food pantry and stuff. I said, okay, let me get you know, your dog, let me get some stuff together. And I said, okay, you didn't finish, okay, you didn't. And then she had to tell me that she couldn't read. And I looked at her, went over to this other department over here, got her some pampers, signed her up so she could go take some reading classes. and you know, and stuff like that. I said, there's no way you should not be able to read.
Yeah.
There's no way. Now, this
wow.
class is right here. They're going to pay for you to go. And I'm saying, please do not let me regret all the stuff that I'm doing and giving to you, because I want to be able to see that there's several kids. Two kids home with her, she can't read.
You know, and that makes you wonder who filled out the application for her to get welfare.
I asked her that. I said, well, who is this? I'm like looking at her, and my first experience, I'm like, oh, that's why my whole thing about literacy, I'm big on literacy, and I'm big on the book. I think every child should have a library card. Every child should be taught to read. I'm big on reading. This is why we need to read. This is exactly why. And that's why so much time I read, because working in Section 8 was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And they could care less how they come into the office, hair rag on a hair rag. I'm like, and yelling and cursing because this is
ratchet.
This
ratchet.
Hold it up. Hold it right now. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? I am so glad this is just my intern. But don't get me wrong. I'm glad that I was a service to serve certain people because, you know, I wanted to see them through stuff because she did not know how to read. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I told her, get up, go to the library. Library offers free stuff, free classes. Free
see, that's what
classes.
It is. Stuff like that, people don't take advantage of.
You
of,
gotta go
of
take
getting
advantage
classes.
Of this free stuff.
Right. Well, that's for people who have too much pride. That's them prideful people. Oh, I done got along this far without it. Why go get it now? At this age.
Well, she wasn't getting far because she didn't know how to fill out this and do this and everything else, and she needs to know how these things. And it wasn't to embarrass her and everything, and it's not that way, because anytime you in a position like that, you don't need to work in that type of field, because you're there to help somebody, not to embarrass them.
Right.
You're there to help. Be a help to these people, because their demeanor is the first thing they see when they walk in that door, and you can set everything off by them not being a nasty, because believe me, I'll see how it is up in here, because there's some nasty, older people that I work with, probably.
Yeah.
They were nasty. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did not have to, you know. And they were really nasty to some of the clientele that came in there, like, you know, well, you should have had. I'm like, you should have had. Oh my. I was just seeing everything, and I'm telling my guy, I'm going to choose a supervisor. I said, you need to get your little comrades in order here. And I was telling her, who is this, whatever, and stuff like, they don't need to be working in this department.
Right.
Because it's your demeanor, how you act towards people. You don't talk to people anyway.
That's true. You know, if you're not a people person, looking like you mad at the world, I mean, nobody told you to get that job. It might have been the only one that you could get.
And you talking about, and they got BS, got problems in there, and then social work and everything, and they sit there with a nasty ass. I'm so
right.
Bad. I am not.
Right. I mean, honestly, like, that's what I was saying earlier. They act like the money is coming out of their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I work with them, and they are some nasty.
Yeah.
Some people, they be like, they sit there, I'm like, I just was like looking and taking notes, and like, they are some miserable old people.
Right.
They retire.
I was gonna say the same thing. Go on home and get your little social security. Instead of being nasty towards somebody that's unfortunate.
And you know what made it sad? It wasn't the white coworkers. It was our own people.
Wow.
It was the ones, the older cranky ones that were sitting in the office behind the desk. I
can relate to everything you said, Kia.
And my godmother know me. Y'all just don't know. I got a tendency to say, you know, say something. And, well, you got to take it out. You got to take it. I don't care. So I was like, and everybody's like, Kia, how are you? I said, you know what? And my godmother, she cannot believe I said this. I said, you know what? Some people do not need to be in this department.
Right.
I need to work around people because
put them behind the wall. Some people need to really stay to themselves.
For everything that I saw, and it came from some of our people. And I can't listen to my one thing I don't care. Listen to my people to me after I leave out of there. This place is a mess, and I made it known. I told this is a mess. This needs to be shit. That's why so much shit up in there.
Right.
And it was our own people, y'all. It wasn't some of the white ones. It was our own.
Well, that's what it be.
Well, you need to. This is what you need to. Like, well, listen. I feel like hearing them. Oh my God!
I work down there. I know.
But some of them been there so long, they just old and feeble. And like you say, need to go on home. Some of them people been at them jobs for 30, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
Go home.
I said to myself, and they were like, okay, you want to change your major? I said, I wish I would change my major to come over here. Are you kidding me? I'm scared of you all. My shit was just the key. I was like, you need to take it. These people are crazy.
Shooting different people, though.
That's what I found so bad. It was like, our own.
But then, that's
how you know they eat. They could be the worst. Sometimes your own people can be the worst.
They were.
But you
because
always
want to
holler
up
about the white man. The white man ain't making you doing nothing to you. You're doing it to yourself. And then, so like you say, Kia, these older people, they all feeble and just hateful and evil.
That's nasty. And I had to tell, and believe me, I saw some, like my godmother's friend or whatever she called her, whatever. She was nasty. And I said, after that, I can never bring myself like to say if I was a CEO, I was like, oh my god, I remember when I worked in my first year. I remember she was nasty, pure nasty. I look at her a whole different like. Every time I see her, I'm just like, wait, you know how that mama said you see people with long school hands? I just wait for her from afar. I said, oh, I cannot. I remember when people told that girl and she was talking about that girl. I see people with long school hands. You can't. It's only been one time with me. Once I find out, and I'm like, you ain't got to worry about that. I can't. I don't even like her.
That's when you get give them the go to hell wave then.
I don't even give them the wave. I just be like, hi. And then my thing is, I just say hello, everybody. I mean, everybody got that hello. I'm not speaking to her individual. Like, hello, everybody.
But little do they get in there acting like that, but little do they know if it wasn't for people, you know, that's honest with you, wouldn't
they
even
wouldn't
have
a job.
Like, you got an attitude. If you was mad this morning, you should have called her if you didn't feel like being here. Check that attitude at the door. You're dealing with the public.
I never even knew she was like that. We would go to her, like, family and friends there, her church and whatever. Never knew that. So I had my summer job there, and I could not believe. I told my mom, I said, Mom, why Mildred? I said, Mom, I'm serious. Mildred was like, you know, and I could not, every time I was here, she was like, you know, can we find out what you got? I said, no, thank you. I don't really wish I would eat my heart and help some old people. He was there when they're going out to eat. She's retired now, but she had 20-something years. She was like the next other. I'm like,
Wait a minute. I knew this teacher, this woman had been teaching so long. She was so old, her hair was blue instead of gray.
Wow.
That woman had to be teaching almost 60 years.
I think it takes a special talent to be a teacher. Everybody cannot be a teacher.
That's true.
Absolutely. You have to almost have the patience of
a
saint.
You do. Let me tell you,
that teaching, coaching, anything that has to really to deal with hands-on with other people like that, you really do have to have a patience of a saint.
My mother's good friend, she's Miss Carney. She was a sixth grade teacher. One of the best sixth grade teacher. Awesome. I'm awesome. And she's the type of teacher, like, you know, kids would be rude in the class, you know, didn't want to do their work. You know what time 2:30, 3 o'clock get? Certain kids that were playing around, they could not leave. She kept them there. She could care less. It was 7 o'clock in the evening. She took every kid home, but they did. They finished their work. But you know what? After that, was no kid acting up. Miss Carney said, well, you played on my time. Now it's your time.
Right.
7 o'clock, and call their mother and let them know they're still doing classwork that they didn't do all day. She retired last year of 35 years. Beautiful retirement party of teaching.
Wow.
Newark lost it. Well, every time I say when teachers retire, the good ones, Newark lose good teachers.
Yeah.
Good teachers.
They also try to bring some of the good teachers down.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, because, like you say, it takes a hell of a person to deal with some kids. You know, because some of these kids make you want to lose your religion on them.
Exactly.
Be ready to snap their neck because they are unruly and you know, like, listen. You might play a lot of things at home or whatever. Right here, that's not happening.
You know,
it's not going down.
This kid told his mother that his teacher put his hands on him and told him he was going to get him after school. He had to go through a lot of riffraff to be proven wrong, you know, that this kid was lying. You know, and that's not a good thing.
That's not cool.
No. You know, so I don't know.
They are, and that's why you can't believe everything you're coming out of a child mouth. My god sister, Adresa, I give every teacher who ever taught her unbelievable attitude, unbelievable. So she gets up, she went to Central High School, she gets up to start when she needs to go to the ladies' room. She told the teacher, well, I'm going to the ladies' room. Get this one man particular hell through her whole junior year. So her mother was sick through this whole process, so my mother did, and my mother went up to the school. She said, okay, I need you to go pick me a ride. Central High School. So I'm like, I'm like, so I said, Adresa. And Mama said, yes. So we went up to the school, and we went exactly the time the teacher told us to come. Nice man. So he told, so when Adresa left out to go to the bathroom, me and my mother was already in the classroom when she came back in there. She, like, she saw a ghost. Like, she saw a ghost. We looking at her like, so he told us everything that Adresa was doing in front of the class, and she's sitting there with her mouth open. And my mother told him, you will never have any problem out of Adresa again. Not one problem out of Adresa, no more.
Wow.
Unbelievable what these teachers go through.
Yeah.
But you know why?
Because
these kids think they can get away with it.
And well, you know, somebody,
that's what it is.
It definitely takes a hell of a person to teach these that's, you know, like, that's mentally challenged and all of that. Oh, my God. I know it takes a lot for that.
Yeah.
You know.
Mentally challenged. Yeah, okay. Three famous, please. You tell them she's, you know, lying, talk about something, well, you know, maybe bipolar. I'm like, you know what? It's just some stuff that these kids can run. I've done heard it through what he was telling us, mouth open, everything that she done did to this man through half the, not through half the school year, she done put this man through.
Wow.
Unbelievable what came out of her mouth. When we got this, she ain't got nothing to say. She ain't doing none of this stuff. Not, you know, whatever. And we looking at her like, is all this true, Adresa? She can't even say nothing. She just like her head down. Because you know what? Now she's about to get embarrassed. My mother's not the same person that plays. And she deserves to be embarrassed.
That's what you need a lot more of that nowadays. Again, cause
she got embarrassed. She got embarrassed. Here her mother is sick, not feeling well, sick. And you're acting a fool in school when you're getting an education? Okay.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of these young mothers and stuff like that. A lot of times kids become unruly because the mother is too so busy trying to do her or the father or the parent or whatever, trying to do them. And they'll do anything to get the kids off their nerve, to get them out of their hair. You understand what I'm saying? Or you have parents, too, that are so busy to where you don't have the time to actually sit and bond with your children for whatever reason, whether you're working or whether you're out partying, hanging, whatever the situation is, and your child is slipping away from you.
Yeah.
So when they go out and they act out and do all of this stuff, they like that attention because they're getting some kind of attention.
Uh-huh.
They're getting some kind of attention, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. They're getting it. So they're going to do whatever's necessary to get the attention that they're not getting at home.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? A lot of kids, they like it when their parent disciplines them because it shows that the parent actually cares.
Right.
Right. That the parent actually cares. So you do. You have to show it just as much discipline as you do love. And like there's discipline without you abusing your children. You ain't got to break their neck, leg, whatever is necessary. But there's still some type of discipline. And if you have that structure in your house, all you have to do is give your child that look.
Phase about high school, and you know everybody had the little, you know,
that rebellious stage. Sure.
Right, whatever. And my little thing was I didn't believe in homework sophomore year because I think I'm getting all A's and B's and plus. Why should I do homework? I was doing the same. Like, I'm not doing the homework. You know, my history teacher. I said I got A's in class. Why am I doing homework?
Right.
So I guess she must have called my mother and told my mother that kids only strike about not doing homework. Oh, really? And I told her I didn't need to do homework. I was too smart to do homework. And I'm telling you right now, it was like, and then she surprised me. My mom's like, came home like, oh, so what's like you are not doing homework? I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? But it's just something about, you know, we don't, you know, think we. I didn't think I need to do homework. Why should I do homework when we did this working class? Right. In his class. Well, I'm getting to be, why am I doing homework? My mother's going to tell you one thing. And my mother, like I said, my mother's the type of person, she, you know, she's only going to speak one time. I'm going to tell you now, ask one thing, Kia, when she said my and that was all she said. And she's in my, like her mouth is in my face. Like, literally about to fight me. And I ain't saying nothing. Do you hear me? All I did shook my head and opened my mouth. Good. I did my homework and a quarter from the other homework that I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the type of, you know.
Damn, say nothing else.
Sons and Divas, we do have another caller. Chicky Chick, are you there? Chicky Chick.
I do. Put a smile on your face because of the God's grace. What's up, girl?
Hey.
What's up?
How are you doing?
That was a welfare baby, right? So y'all want me to talk? Y'all must not want me to talk.
What happened?
So I was a welfare baby.
You was a welfare baby?
Yes, I was.
He's so silly.
And there were two kids. You got 424 in the state of New Jersey. I know it down pat.
No, like the back of your head.
You got 180 room fast.
He got another. He's going out the biggest.
Now that double card stuff.
He's going out the biggest.
When they had to pay for food stamps, right?
When you was embarrassed, you was enjoying. Do y'all have time for me to tell y'all a quick story about some stamps?
What happened? Say that again.
If y'all got time.
You breaking up, chick?
Yeah, your phone's breaking up.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
This is what happened. I grew up on food stamps. My grandma took care of me after my mother died. So, my grandma, around our way, the Chinese stores take food stamps. Charge like $1 extra, stuff like that. So we go to the Chinese store, we get some food and stuff, right? So when we go in there, me and my brother, it's like some fly girls up there, right? So I'm like, yo, I'm trying to put my order in on the DL, you feel what I'm saying? So I put my order in. Let me get 3 orders of chicken wings and fried rice, you know, the basic. Me, my brother, my grandmother. We sitting there, the girls right there. So I'm like, damn, I can't pull these food stamps. So I try to go up to the front stand. I'm like, he's like, oh, food ready. So he's like, food ready. You know, they go, food ready. So I go up to the counter and I'm trying to hand them the food stamps on the deal so the girls don't know. And he go, oh, food stamp? Dollar extra. Oh, you messed up my whole game for the day, yo. Oh, man. So how y'all doing? I hope y'all like that.
So what's good with you? How you doing today, Chicky Chick?
I'm okay, man. I can't complain, man. God is good. You know what I'm saying? I just came back from my parent meeting with my brother's school. I'm blessed, man. Y'all know how I get, man. I ain't gonna talk about no more, man. If I'm crying, I'm gonna do it by hand. The customer's my own.
Crying. Have you heard the topics for this evening?
Well, I dabbled and dabbled in them. That's what made me want to jump on because I heard something about the welfare system. You know, I'm highly opinionated on that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, it's everybody's opinion that do call in here. You know what I'm saying? It's not you're right, I'm wrong, whatever, I'm right, you're wrong. It's, you know, everybody has their opinion on things, takes on things. People's situations are different, their experiences are different. So you could experience something different than totally different than what I experienced when it came to the same situation. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, as far as, like, the system, I don't know. I know I've been on a system, you understand? But, again, that is... It's like there's a dead end because it's like they're controlling like everything you do. And it's like, oh God, it has to be a better way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it'd be nice if everybody went in there with that same mentality. Okay, it has to be a better way. I'm going to use this as my stepping stone. I'm going to start off here on the system. You know what I'm saying? Build myself up. Like homie said earlier, go get me an education and do something different with myself. You know what I'm saying?
And what makes it so hard is that, like, I was playing to my wife earlier. I said, man, if we was on welfare, things would be so much better because now with welfare, you could go to school while they pay for your babysitting. You could get you a few educations. They still care for you.
And you know, they don't, the way Obama made it so that, you know, it really helps people that need it. Now, what happens is you got the couch potatoes. But you know how the couch potatoes became couch potatoes? Because their mother was a couch potato. And maybe even his grandmother won. They was never taught to get off of it. You know what I'm saying? You got mothers who's taking their 18 kids going down there like this, girl. You just had a baby. You better go down to welfare. You know what I'm saying? So with a mentality like that, we can't even blame it. And you know, and I was a product of the welfare system when my grandma really needed. Being that my mother died of AIDS when she was 22 and she was left to take care of us. And my grandmother, you know, after losing employment, she didn't really have no educational skills. Like, you know, at that time, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, when you went to go work, you had to go work for the household because, you know, mom and pop might have been doing so good. So you was forced out there 15, 16, do what you had to do and drop out of school. And my grandmother was the result of that, not going to have an high school education. So she had labor-type jobs. So now when she couldn't labor, no education, no type of job experience to write down on paper good, she had to get on the welfare system. So, you know, them was the people that it helps. But then you got the people, hurtful people, who doesn't try to get motivate themselves to get off of it, even though they got the things you could go to school or get the parenting advice and get the baby things. You know, it's crazy. But I'm all with it. I can't say I would ever get rid of it. I'm a taxpayer citizen now, and a little bit of money they're taking from me, I mean, well, it's a lot of money. The money they take from me, if it helps out some families, what they need to do, even though they're lazy, I'm all with it, man. I can't, you know, I can't say something about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's like if you're growing an apple tree or you growing watermelons, whatever you're growing, you're gonna have some bad seed. You know, you can't get rid of that. That's, you know, everybody thinks that we live in this utopian society that when somebody doing wrong or something going wrong, that's bad. That's the nature of things. You know what I mean? The devil must be evident for you to know that God is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you
sit
around and everybody was
wow.
gonna love me, then you would stop praising God.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Wow.
That ain't gotta go wrong. You need a testimony.
Well,
you definitely need
a testimony. That's so true. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, it gets to a point where people start blaming the devil for everything. You can't do it. I'm sorry. Number one, he can't make you do anything. He can tempt you. His only thing, now you have that free will to say which direction you're going to go in.
Okay. That's just like the story of Job. You know, God don't let nothing happen. Don't let the devil do anything to you that he won't allow.
It's gonna be tested.
You know, we ain't on our time though. You know what I mean? Like, somebody might get, like, I mean, keep it real. Somebody might have been on welfare 20 years. You know, that's the second to God for him to bring it on them or let the testimony come out on them. So, you know, if we're looking at it in man's eyes, a lot of things will go wrong. Like we're talking about the war over there in Syria and what President Obama trying to do, and they can't, we kill babies every day. That doesn't mean the bully can't be a bully one day. I mean, you can't correct your life. That's like kind of testimony in me. If I'm saying that, you know, I've been doing war all my life, 27 years, I was gang banging and selling drugs and stuff. So it only takes one day for good. It only takes one day for Christ.
You're right. We've come to the end of our show, Dons and Divas. Normally we do this a little bit earlier, go around and give our final thoughts. However, we have less than a minute to go. What would you even like to do with this?
Well, we're going to thank everybody for calling in tonight. We have, we just thank all the callers, Kim, Sean, Big Homie, Kia, Chicky, Chick, which Chick has a show immediately following I Love Fantasy tonight. So everybody stay on the line and kick it with our boy Chicky Chick. You know, we want to thank Rich and Lavina, our CEO and our executive producers, for making this happen. We want to give our Lord and Savior all the praise and glory for making all of this happen. And again, like you said, we apologize that everybody's not able to have a final thought. And because time is of the essence, and we like to keep order. We like to thank all our listeners out there. We see the phones lit up and everybody that's just on the line. Next time, press that one and get in on the conversation. I like to thank my fellow divas, Rachel and T. Also, for their effort and for putting in their time out of their busy schedules for us to, you know, to make this show happen. I really enjoyed us. I really enjoy, you know, being on the air with them and stuff like that. And, again, I just, again, appreciate all the callers and everything. And catch us same time next week, same number, 646-200-3838. Press that one and get in on the conversation. Again, thanks to everybody. And on that note, I'm chucking up the deuces.
Comedy Wednesdays with your boy Chip the Comedian. Y'all know what it is. Clap it up real quick, clap it up. Check it out. I need the music cut. Get the music over there in the room. Check it out, y'all, right? Yo, on a real serious note, man, like I was thinking about my show, right? I'm gonna tell y'all what happened because, you know, things can happen throughout the week, not making anything personal, but you, you know, not putting anybody's business out there. But you know what? Something can change in somebody's life so much, man. You know, I went to the doctor, you know what I mean, a couple of weeks ago. I didn't really tell nobody, but, you know, they told me that I might, you know what I mean, they tried to give me medicine, talking about hypertension, high blood pressure, and stuff like that. And, man, you know, I said the devil was a lie. I'm going to just start working out, stop putting the salt in my diet. If y'all know, I got my own catering business. I've been really, like, eating a lot lately, and, you know, I'm a couple of pounds overweight. I don't look like it, but, you know how the metric system, though. And you say, you know, and what happened is you just never know when, you know, God give you an awakening, man. And then you don't, you know, we take so much for granted, man. I can't take for granted that I have my own radio show. And I'm on GQ Pounds Radio, and any day that it could be taken away from me, man. So, you know what, I was thinking to myself, I said, you know what, I need to start coming in here more prepared. I can't use the excuse of my phone lines ain't litting up. I'm hosting by myself. I ain't got no topics. You know what? I got to start doing the groundwork for everything that I need to do. So, you know what I mean? Well, I want to let everybody know that's listening to my show, The Few and Faithful, or maybe The Many, because I have no track of it. You know what I mean? The people do that's behind the boards and God do. But you know what? I owe it to y'all to make sure I come into my show with a well-rehearsed plan. And what made me bring this up is that you just never know when GQ Pals ain't going to be around no more. You never know when if somebody calls and say, hey, we can't do the show because such and such happened and such and such happened. You know what I mean? So I want to thank my whole GQ Pals family for continuing to keep me in their graces and their prayers, man. Clap it up for that, man. Thank you. I remember, you know, when Rich, you know, when I first got the show, Rich was like, I was like, Rich, man, what you want me to do? You got a format for me, whatever? He said, man, and you know, it's one of the biggest things I ever heard in my life. And I want everybody to say this is real. I'm not trying to get no tears. I'm not trying to get no praises, man. You know what I mean? No glory to myself. You know, this is one of the realest things that somebody ever said to me. He might not even know when he said it. He said, man, Chick, this is your show. You do what you want to do. And you don't even know what that means, man. You know, by being incarcerated for a long time in my life, being told what I need to do, or being in church and somebody give me some type of order, some type of structure, or even being in a gangbanging environment of giving some rules and regulations, man. I know on my show, I am really given the opportunity to do what I want to do, man. And there ain't too many people that can say that they can do what they want to do on their job, whether you get paid or not, man. So I'm thankful for it. And like I said, the culmination of all these events came about was this week I got a call. You know how you do your Facebook messaging and stuff like that. You're like, hey, I'm a comedian. Book me for your next event. Do this, do that. And you know, you always say, You just put it out there. You just never know my answer. And you ever say somebody say it might be that one person. I'm gonna tell you how good God is. I'm gonna give you this testimony. Y'all need to listen to this. This is exactly how it happened. A person that's a friend on my Facebook account has a friend that's on their Facebook account that I don't know about. This friend who has a friend posted that, hey, I know somebody else that's looking for a comedian. If y'all know anybody, hit me up. A friend that I have to say, hey, I know somebody that do comedy. His name is Joaquin, comedian Joaquin Singleton on my Facebook page. Chicky Chick. Y'all need to hit him up. So she's like, okay, whatever, whatever. Now, this is all stuff I don't know about. I get a friend request. While we've been the comedian, I get friend requests all the time. You never know. So she friend requests me. I sat there. She said, hey, heard you was a comedian from such and such. I'm like, yeah. I have another person that's looking for some comedian. So you know how I go. You just never know how it's going to go. I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm available. You're not in contact. I get an unknown call on my phone. Somebody say, hey, is this comedian Joaquin? Well, this sounded very professional. Very professional, right? So I say, hey, this is me. He say, hey, I'm such and such, such and such. That's a comedy show. I say, okay. So he's talking to me. And mind you, I've never really been in this position, people. I always had somebody doing for me and making moves for me. But I've been, after this call, it made me really get up on the business side of things. Like, really 100%. So now the person is saying to me, hey, you know, I have a budget of such and such. I don't want to put the number out there, y'all, because, you know what I mean? You know, it ain't every. I don't want to put the person business out there, but, you know, they don't mind me talking. You know what I'm saying? They know who I'm talking about, but y'all don't. But let's just say the number was three figures, right? I know I'm not, you know, I'm not Kevin Hart. I'm not Steve Harvey, Bill Belichick, none of these people. So when you say three figures to me, that's my paycheck, y'all. You know what I'm saying? That's my paycheck. Three figures, if anybody knows what three figures is anything over $1,000. 3-0. Boom. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, man, if you got one comedian that do it for this, this is what I do it for, and I give you a whole bunch of other comedians, we do a big show for you. So long story short, I start going to all the business side. The man hired me. I have a business meeting with him yesterday, man. He hands me over half the money for the check. I don't even know the person. And I'm just going to show you how God is, man. Because now that I step into his realm of territory, I started doing my Christian comedy, clean-cut comedy. It's the movement. I told everybody, it's clean-cut comedy. You don't have to curse to make people laugh. That's my motto. You don't have to curse and act a fool to make somebody laugh. And that's why I try to walk my life, man. I can do it. I can make you laugh. I ain't got to be an ass. Part of my language, y'all, but I had to put it out there. I don't have to be an ass to get a applause. You feel what I'm saying? And this is the culmination of events. Everything I just told y'all, right, is already a testimony in itself. But guess who the person is? The person is a correctional officer. I am doing a show for prisons. Not for the inmates, but for the officers, right? We're talking about officers who yeah, it's funny at the same time. I can't remember me. Yeah, it's funny. I'm doing a show for maybe the same officers who made it threw me on my face, who told me to get in the shower and spray me so I won't, you know what I mean, with the water or the treatment to come away and give me my mood. Give me a sense, y'all? God put me in a position that they're paying me for services. Do y'all understand what I'm saying, y'all? Do y'all get this, man? Like, right now, I'm like, I almost have tears coming down my face, y'all. Wow. I'm doing a big show, man. Like, I'm already paid. The show ain't till November 2nd. Y'all gonna see the flyers up there on my phone. That's what I'm having on. Listen. And guess what? The comedy show is on the compound of the jail. You understand what I'm saying, y'all? Like, I mean, yo, when God works and when he moves, just get up. He's just gonna carry you to places that you didn't even think. So clap it up for that. Y'all gonna take the comedian and really move it up, baby. Woo! Yo, I tell jokes for a living. This is really a movement, it's really going on, man. So if you listen to my show, you're already here. But it's late listening, you may be on the radio. What I need you to do is pick up your telephone and give them a call 646. 200, 38, 38, and you're going to hear a voice welcome to GQ Palace Radio. And I need you to start listening to my show. Press on the floor to be interactive with me. What are we going to do right now, man? I'm going to work more into this monologue. I got a surprise for y'all, yo. Guess what? My comedy DVD, I'm not here to preach. I'm here to tell jokes. Not only is it available online through my website, but also we're playing the show for y'all tonight. That's right, y'all. My whole comedy show is coming on tonight, baby. You get to hear the jokes to yourself. You get to hear the clap. That's right. I ain't got to talk about it. I ain't got to live it. I'm about to show you until it goes down. So what we're going to do is I'm going to try to get everybody acclimated. Like, I'm going to try to get y'all settled down. You know what I'm saying? Grab that ice cream with some nuts. Or that, grab that Swiss bowl with your coupon. Grab that your wife needs. Do everything you need to do. Be able to come back. You're going to rehearse ourselves. Right? You're going to play a quick song. But the problem with you is pretty much believing that my phone line is flooded. Somebody wants to speak before we play the comedy show, which is a whole half an hour. I really need y'all to get involved with this thing. I am prepared. And what we're going to do is from week in to week out now, we're going to have a special guest, who's a comedian, on my show. Whether I can give him 10 hours of calling or not, I'm about to make my show blow to a whole other side of thing. So if you're listening to the on the computer, I need you to call him at 646-238-38. This is what we're doing. Hey, yo, Lavina and Richie, if you're over there right now in the booth, y'all see, let's talk with your boy real quick so he can come back and do what we need to do. This is GQ Powers Radio, Fall Out Comedy Wednesday. This is for a change of comedian. This is what I do. Just for living. That's all that.
Moving through the club, I'm feeling like the new me. Then she put her hands on me, said she wanna do me. Now she on the dance floor, moving all loosely, singing off key. Blame it on the goosey, hand on the set dots, hand on the coochie. She's on fuego, smoking like a Lucy. Said she got a camera, wanna shoot a movie. Treat me like a superstar,
I wanna be a groupie.
She know how to move, she know how to shake it. Got some pretty panties on,
I want you to take it.
Moving like a rattlesnake, biting on her bottom lip. Fingers all in the hair, little purse by her hip. Now she getting closer, looking in my eyes now. Hand on my holster, trying to check my size now. I think she like me, cause I'm a cool dude. Then she whispered in my ear,
I just wanna do you.
Anywhere, I don't care,
I just wanna do you.
Oh baby, pull on my hair,
I just wanna do you.
I can ride it on top,
I just wanna do you.
Oh baby, don't stop,
I just wanna do you.
Moving through the pool party, chilling in my linen, B. That's when she approached me, said how she feeling me. Booty all big, titties all swole, headlights on, I guess the water kinda cold. Got her hair pinned up, nice lips, cute face. Asked, do I want her to show me round her new place? Said she got a stick shift, cause she like to grip things. Went to the kitchen, came back with whipped cream, playing with my zipper, saying I'm a cutie. Went to the bedroom, hopped in a jacuzzi, then to the shower, try not to lose me. Then she turned the camera on, time to make a movie. Bedroom, canopy, mirrors on the ceiling, hopped on top of me, oh what a feeling. I don't even know her, I'm like, who you? Then she whispered in my ear,
I just wanna do you.
Anywhere, I don't care,
I just wanna do you.
Oh baby, pull on my hair,
I just wanna do you.
I can ride it on top,
I just wanna do you.
Oh baby, don't stop,
I just wanna do you.
Cell phone ringing,
hi poppy,
what you thinking about my?
My poppy,
I'ma hop on top, I'm not gonna stop, I wanna do something to you.
Like it when I smack that, like it when I pull her hair. I go hard, she move back, I grab her hips, pull her hair. Pulling on her, tugging on her right before she gets. I turn her upside down and put my face in the Now, you can hold back or you can yell, but I be doing it and doing it and doing it well. From the kitchen counter to the floor to the shower, I go hard, I handle that mama. Licking her in places, making her bells jingle. Every time I call her, she feel a little tingle. Now she on her cell phone, touching on a 2-2.
Baby, I just wanna do you.
Anywhere, I don't care,
I just wanna do you.
Oh baby, pull on my hair,
I just wanna do you.
I can ride it on top,
I just wanna do you.
Oh baby, don't stop,
I just wanna do you.
Woo!
Yo.
And that was crazy. That was the craziest song that came from the speak show. I just want to do you. Hey, I probably got some kids on the line right now. Apologize to your parents right now for hearing that song, but now I'm just letting y'all know how it goes. This is your boy, Fallout Comedy Wednesday, with your man, Kenzie Comedian. We're here each and every Wednesday from 9 to 10 at the Loud Fantasy Radio with the three girls with the most, Steve Holland, Rachel, and Andre. Give it up for my three girls. Give them up. They done caused pretty arguments in my house. That's when the struggle here is. So what's going on right now? I haven't really got any info of what's going on with all my line. I'm not sure. At the same time, what I'll be doing now is, man, I'll come to have some Twitter thing, Facebook thing going on with my show. I'm actually engaged in a conversation actually going. It has nothing to do with my show, but y'all know I'm kind of like a political activist sometimes. Sometimes I can't hear it, so I have to speak. But what we're going to do, man, we're going to give a chance with some callers to call it. I don't think we have anybody now because I haven't got head up. If there's some callers at all, I need to press one right now. So before I even start my comedy, I want to just do a brief introduction of what's going on. Give you a chance. But right now, I'm going to let y'all know why I'm having a conversation. I'm talking about the mayor in New Jersey, the mayor in North right now. If y'all know the situation that's going on, everybody named Mama trying to blame everything that's happening to him, like, you know, what's going on. I let y'all know, as a former person, I used to gangbang on the street and selling drugs. Is there anybody else that ever did this? Did it matter if they laid off cops or not? Did they dictate what crime he's going to do the next day? It doesn't make no sense. Like, I'm going into my, before I'm out the way, rob somebody, I'm saying, hold up, they just laid off 50 cops. I got a better chance of getting away. Now, there's no such thing. No such thing. There's no thing. So, what we're going to do right now, right? I'm going to let y'all know. Cut the music! Cut the music! Clap it up. Y'all know what I just proved? I just proved they do what I say do when I say do. That's what I just did. I just proved that. I just proved that because I run stuff. So look, I don't get no. Yeah! That was a quick one, too. So what we got to do, y'all, I'm about to play my world premiere on the radio. Your boy is about to play the world premiere of his new DVD. I'm not here to quit. I'm here to tell jokes. What I want y'all to do, man, I want y'all to listen. I want everybody to listen. Y'all can be able to critique this. So well, right now, give me a call at 646-200-3838. I even paused before you. Somebody coming along if you have a joke that you cannot hold in. So we about to play it right now. Everybody listen. This is the world premiere of your boy's DVD. I'm not here to preach. I'm here to tell jokes. We did this in June up in the Cranford Performing Arts Center. It's your boy, Chick the Comedian. Here we go.
Everybody, come out to the destination.
Thank you.
Some of the people in the circle, they say, I forgot about you.
So then I'm gonna say to my wife, right? If you know my wife, so you know, y'all time, then when you do, I mean, you know, dying to do it over that, you know, you feel like you're looking for that. Right now, I'm talking to a grocery store, you know, you can stop this period, you know, please. Yeah, I want to just, I don't want to go to I don't care what my daughter wants. I want to go to I want to go to the
I'm not going to have a problem with that. come here to show I'm going to be all these tonight. And like I said, man, when I was going through my life, I did a whole bunch of stuff, man, that, you know, that people just let me go with. And I had to go through a whole bunch, man. And, you know, man, if I'm a bishop, you get to learn a lot. And, you know, if anybody walks up, I'm like, cutting lawn, you know, you minister now. And, you know, bishop, you were bishop, man, you could do any kind of job. Like, you might get taxed and you get all better. But you got to learn all that. I'm not equipped with all of them because, you know, all of them, if you watch them, they're in church, you know, we don't say Catholic church. I don't say Catholic church here. You know, they just come. They're going to be like this. I want to saturate, 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 saturate. But they're going to be like, hey, you know, we don't have others. So, okay. You can have a little bit of a meme. That was a good love preacher right there. That wasn't Jesus. So right now, I'm going to start the name of the Father. I'm going to start the name and say, he is not here to serve those. Father, that's all. He is not here to do that. How I let you let me see my soul. He is not here to do it. I told you to let that God today come. That's what I'm saying right now. So I'm sitting here in church tonight, and this is one thing that I have to get out of them. So this is going on with this message. He's like this, you know. You're not really like this. Ooh, 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 ooh. Thank you, God. Thank you. I don't want to get you. Thank you, God. This is our church. God's coming to you. And you're going to come to our church. You're going to come to our church. Yeah. And we're going to have our church. I'm on mine. That is the same. He didn't do that. I'm on mine. You know, I'm supposed to be all available, so I'm all emotional. I can't separate. You know what I mean? So I'm supposed to be like all fun stuff like this. So this is like, come and put your hands up, all right?
Yeah.
I wanted to wipe the tears from my eyes and be proud. But so when you lay it in, I had sheep. And what happened with this one, too, like, I was just like, I was stuck. I couldn't do nothing. Like I said, I hope y'all enjoy my time on stage. They call me 60
tell y'all, man, we got a lot of structure going on, man. We got a lot of structure going on right now, myself. But, you know, just like I said on my time with you, DVD, I go to a Pentecostal church, yo. We don't really deal with structure too much. Because when the Holy Spirit come in, and y'all know I said the Lord 19 coming through into the building, you know what's going on. So right now, y'all been here with the anointing. So cut the music off, because I'm going to explain what the anointing is to people. What the anointing is. Cut the music off. Check it out, y'all. Check it out. I know we all joke tonight, but I'm going to tell y'all, man, God has blessed me in a tremendous way to do what I need to do, man. This is the thing of the anointing, man. I know y'all heard me on my comedy show. I make it real fun. But the anointing, man, it's like, it's just that presence that's given to you. God has allotted to you to be like a founder, be like a spokesman for him. So what he does, he gives you this anointing. He gives you this characteristics that yourself, that you're able to touch people, that you're able to translate to people. And so, you know, some people have the anointing and they be able to have a gift where they prophesy to some people. They have gifts that they can lay hands. You got another person that have a gift that could be able to verbalize something to somebody. Right now, God has given me the joke, the anointing to be able to touch people through my laughter, man. And that's what I try to do, man. I spread the gospel through laughter, man. I let you know, man, that God is good and God is real in every way, man. Y'all understand? Did y'all understand what y'all just heard? This is me, man. Y'all ain't just here. Y'all might have thought y'all was listening to somebody that been traveling all over the world. No, your boy is right here on GQ Files Radio. And y'all get it for each and every week. This is what we do, y'all. This is what you do. You got to motivate. You got to keep your people on. But you know what? God is my motivation. My family, my motivation. Everybody that puts any type of positiveness in my situation, my life, is my motivation. So clap it up for everybody, man, that could continue to see me grow like this, man. Clap it up, man. Y'all got to give it up to them. Y'all got to give it up. Man, y'all, I'm truly excited, man. Like I told y'all, the DVD is called I'm Not Here to Preach, I'm Here to Tell Jokes. Yo, you can watch some of the snippets of your favorite joke. I'm on YouTube, Chick the Comedian. I'm on Facebook, Chick the Comedian, or Chicky Chick, or Rock, or Comedian Rakim Singleton. I'm on Twitter, and on Instagram, and on Vine, and on LinkedIn, Chicky Chick, Chick the Comedian. Make sure y'all check me out, man. This is really a movement. Clean cut comedy is a movement. You can be able to get a t-shirt, too. We got t-shirts that say clean cut comedy on it, yo. Clean cut comedy. That's like, you know, when you go back home and you got the t-shirt, you know what you're talking about? Who you want to go see? Yo, man, I want to go see this clean cut comic. His name is Chick the Comedian, man. He blew it up, yo. I'm talking about, he did a whole set. He ain't even curse. He ain't even talk about my mama. I was able to sit in the front row, and he ain't get on me about my country shirt I got on. No, he just did jokes, and that's what I do, y'all. That's what I do, man. I'm feeling real good right now. I'm really enjoying it, y'all. That's right, for free. This is Lavinia said, that's right, for free every week. So you have to call in at 646-238-38 and just press 1. You get to see me act the fool and act up for the Lord every week for free, y'all. Take advantage of it. Like I told somebody, man, if I was ever go somewhere else, I'd never forget my grassroots. I continue to do my show. You know what I mean? I continue to do what I need to do. You know why? Because that's what God does, man. He puts you in a situation, man, so you give him the glory. So I take none away from the Lord, man. This is not me, man. I'm you right now. I'm just a puppet, and the Lord is the puppeteer. He's moving everything around, man. So clap it up for that, man. Clap it up, man. And this is one thing I don't think I know, man. And, you know, I tell to my family, man, you know, Wednesday would be family night for my family. So what I do is to make sure I do the show at 9 o'clock. Man, I'm doing awesome. I'm running about, wasting tax money, making sure the food there, making sure we get to watch our movie, making sure we praise them, we pray at the table together. Me and my wife go through a good conversation, man, because like I said, man, oh, this ain't the Brady Bunch, man. You know, everything erodes every day. So every day, man, we got to give up. We got to get up and we got to kill the flesh, man. and let our spirit move, man, because the flesh don't have his right, man. The flesh don't have his right, man. I'll be like this. I'll leave. She's like, I'll leave too. I was like, let's pray. She's like, oh, I love you, and I love you too. Right now, my wife, I think she's been sipping margaritas. So it was going down tonight, and I was just joking. I'm serious. I'm just joking. I'm not saying it's going down. I'm just saying it ain't going down like that. She is going to be. Make sure you also, you can always go to GQ Palace Radio, right? And you can check it at blogtalkradio.com/GQ/Palace. You can also get all the old shows. Do you understand? We got archives of the old show. You can be able to download your favorite one. Just remember the week. And if not, just listen to it. And the computer lets you download it to your computer. So you can always have it. So what you just heard on the show, I shouldn't have said this because now you don't have that. But there's different. You got to see me tell my jokes. Also download the audio on blogtalkradio.com/GQ/Palace. Yeah, I just gave y'all my whole audio for free to everybody that's listening, man. I just gave it to y'all. If y'all listening right now, you know I always try to end things off, start everything off my monologue. I gave so much, man. But you know, as continue to go, I'm gonna let y'all know about the shows that I have coming up. I have a show. I got time. This is my show, so I got time looking up. So y'all think I'm fronting because I get so much. Not saying I'm getting all of them shows like that. I'm just saying. Oh, remember Monday in East Orange, Irvington, and North, we have Walk Your Daughters to School Day. That's Monday. We're going to be up there at Langston Hughes Elementary School, the PTA, on 160 Woldauer Avenue in East Orange, New Jersey. Your kids, you know, I mean, dad's waking up. We walking y'all to school, the girls, man, and walking your kids to school, making sure you got your things going on with you, man. Big shout-out to my daughter, man. She started school Tuesday, man, and, you know, daddy is really working for her. Man, I bought her a new phone. Yeah, I know, whatever. I said I wasn't going to do it, whatever. I did it, so what? And this is what it is. Right now, I'm going to get y'all my flyer. This is exactly what the flyer say, y'all. Just in case y'all think I'll be fronting, right? This is what the flyer says. The flyer says this. The Love of Jesus Family Church Adult Choir Presents. Laugh Out Comedy, a comedy showcase. Saturday, October 19th, 2013. Doors open up at 4. I mean, it starts at 4 o'clock, but doors open at 3:15. Your host is Patricia Andrews. She do like Christian comedy up in New Jersey. Everybody know her. But guess who's your featured and your headline comedian? That's right, comedian Rakim Singleton, a.k.a. Chief of Comedian, a.k.a. Chicken Chick. Oh, my God, he's so sweet. I am a headline, yo. This is the first show. I'm the headline, y'all. I'm really proud of it. Let me just speak to y'all again. It is the Love of Jesus Family Church, Adult Choir Presents, Live Out Loud, a comedy, a Christian comedy showcase with your host, Patricia Andrews, and with me, the headliner, Rakim Singleton, a.k.a. Chicky Chick. You can check us out Saturday, October 19, 2013. And that's where doors open up at. I mean, the show starts at 4, but the doors open up at 3:15. That's at the Love of Us Jesus Family Church, which is at 88/94 Ballin Street. That's in North New Jersey. For ticket information, you can contact 908-347-2120, or you can call 973-342-7026. Adults only $15. The children that's under 12, they only $5. Like I said, this is clean cup comedy. The whole family can come. And they got a little thing up here. A happy heart is a good medicine, and a cheerful mind worth chilling, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. That is Proverbs 17:22. You can check that up. I ain't make that up. The Lord said that. That's what the Lord said. So make sure you come out there. I also got a show on second. Upstate New York, up in Fishkill. I have more information with the address and everything going, but you know what? I ain't been getting paid yet, so I can't put it out there like that. You know what I mean? You know, the Lord said, you know what I mean? You ask, you have not because you ask not. So I'm asking all y'all to come out, support. Hit me up for the DVD at chickthecomedian@yahoo.com. Or check out the GQ Power page on Facebook, or on LinkedIn, we everywhere. Or check now my Facebook, it's in the front of the question. You know what I mean? My baby, my wife, she you know, she reviews it, says if I can accept you or not. If you all good, don't have a booty shot because you ain't getting the friend request. Can't have it on my page. So say you already got one, it is what it is, but we're going to have God deal with you, man. This is it. It says God is coming through for me now. All I need is y'all to come through to see me. Chick the Comedian and Pat Andrews. Tear the roof off of Jesus. We're joking, laughing. This is a family event, so you can bring the kids. Make sure I come in. This is that. We at Tiller 1 right now. I know I've been running my mouth. Make sure, yo, we about to end the show off. Yo, you know what it is. I love you, but God loves you more. He loves you more than anybody else. Remember that. So I'll talk to y'all later. Make sure y'all contact me every week on each and every Wednesday for all our comedy. I love y'all, man. Yo, in the thought with the song was made for us, even though I ain't in it, y'all know how I do. This is GQ Pounds Radio for all our comedy Wednesdays with your boy Chick the Comedian. Another show in the book. Y'all know what it is.
You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. A crew thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, it's a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine status. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter it. Miserable, so visual, the mayor, the player. I press the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love life loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes out spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the gospel on that Turner style, untainted. I'm a messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Stepping to Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is a diva squad on the move. Rachel and EC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rise, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Why parable, GQ, non comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Making major moves, GQ, is colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace royalty, is a virtue.